Acme is making your grocery shopping easier than ever. Download the Acme mobile app to find digital deals, earn reward points, or shop for delivery or pickup. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news update with Kathy Romano.
Today is Friday, May 6th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, the School District of Philadelphia is launching a new security measure that some parents might consider controversial. Middle school and elementary school students will undergo weapon screenings beginning next week. Chief Kevin Bethel from the Office of School Safety says for years now, they've had metal detectors installed at all the high schools in the district to screen for guns and other weapons. But it was only until recently that weapons began surfacing at elementary and middle schools. So beginning next week, the district will use hand wands or metal detectors to scan all 6th through 8th graders at least once before the end of the school year. According to a letter sent to parents, the scans will be conducted randomly at schools by school safety officers in the presence of at least one school leader. Most parents seem to be supportive of the move, but some critics argue that this is over-policing that continues to criminalize children. If a student is found to have a weapon, they will be detained and referred to Philadelphia police. SEPTA is addressing safety concerns on their transportation system by adding new personnel from security firms to act as extra eyes and ears for SEPTA Transit Police. The new SEPTA Outreach Service Program was approved by SEPTA SEPTA's board back in February. SEPTA General Manager Leslie Richard says SEPTA partnered with 3 security firms to staff the program. Combined, there will be 88 specialists who will be assigned to stations and vehicles along Broad Street and Market Frankford lines. They will also be present at the concourses in Center City. Outreach specialists will remind riders about the rules for riding SEPTA vehicles and will be equipped with phones in order to facilitate direct contact with SEPTA Transit Police. The specialists will also take over the responsibility of opening and closing the stations, allowing police officers to conduct more patrols during the overnight hours.
Well, you know, they have air marshals. Could they have bus marshals?
That's like pretty much what this is.
Yeah.
The new addition comes after a recent string of violent attacks on SEPTA vehicles and properties. SEPTA safety took center stage at the Philadelphia City Council budget meeting earlier this week as officials try to rebuild public confidence in the nation's 6th largest transit system. In addition to the new outreach workers, SEPTA is also working to staff 8 new positions for a virtual patrol center to watch the 30,000 SEPTA cameras. Those positions will help to make sure the patrol officers are dispatched to parts of the system where they are needed most, officials say. After more than 2 decades in Chicago, aircraft manufacturer Boeing announced it's moving its headquarters to Arlington, Virginia. The company made the announcement Thursday in a statement naming its Arlington facility just outside of the capital, Washington, D.C., its new global headquarters, and that it intends to develop a research and technology hub in the area. Boeing explained its aerospace and defense firm in the region also specializes in advanced airplane development and autonomous systems while supporting its various corporate functions. The aircraft manufacturer said it will maintain a significant presence in Chicago despite the move.
Isn't there a Boeing facility right near here?
Ridley Park.
King of Prussia is Lockheed Martin.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Boeing said that during the last 2 years of the pandemic, it implemented policies to reduce its office space needs, and that less office space is now needed at its Chicago facility for the employees who will continue to be based there. Boeing, for decades, had been headquartered in Seattle, but moved to Chicago in 2001 after the Windy City beat out Dallas and Denver for the relocation. In sports this morning. The Sixers will take on the Heat in Game 3 of the Eastern Conference semifinal matchup tonight in South Philly. Center Joel Embiid is currently listed as out for the game, but there is progress that could be made to change his availability in time to play. Sixers head coach Doc Rivers told reporters yesterday Embiid has yet to be cleared from the NBA's concussion protocol, and he can only be listed as out until then. The Heat lead the series 2-0, and tip-off tonight is at 7 o'clock. The Phillies lost in historic fashion.
What the f***?
to the first place Mets as the two teams opened a four-game series last night at the ballpark. The previous 330 times the Mets trailed by 6 runs in the ninth inning, they had lost. But last night, they erased a 6-run deficit in the ninth inning to come back and beat the Phils 8-7. The Mets' win ended a string of 856 consecutive losses by MLB clubs when trailing by 6 runs or more in the ninth. The series continues tonight. Max Scherzer gets the start for the Mets, and Kyle Gibson starts for the Phils. The first pitch is set for 7:05. In the NHL playoffs, the Rangers beat the Penguins 5-2, and that series is tied at 1. Claude Giroux and the Panthers beat the Capitals 5-1. That series also tied at 1. In the Western Conference, the Avalanche beat the Predators 2-1 in overtime and now lead that series 2-0, and the Stars beat the Flames in Calgary 2-0 to tie that series at 1 game apiece. And finally, federal auditors investigating Phil Mickelson's role in an insider trading scheme found his gambling losses totaled more than $40 million from 2010 to 2014, according to an excerpt from Alan Shipnuck's forthcoming biography. His unauthorized biography of Mickelson will be released on May 17th during the PGA Championship, where Mickelson is the defending champion, but has not yet said if he will be playing. Mickelson has been out of public view since the final round of the Saudi International on February 6th. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you so much, Kathy. It's a Friday. We have several things that are taking place on today's program. We'll start with the first and foremost, and one you probably already know. We have the Concert Cash before we head into the weekend. So your last opportunity before we get to a couple of days off from that. We'll start at 8 a.m. $500. MMRBQ tickets, both in one shot. And we'll do that twice alone during our program. So that is happening. We also have another chance for you to win today with the Kenan's Cut the Line event.
Very cool.
So we have Eggs with Peg, our Memorial Day weekend kickoff broadcast, the opening of the Jersey Shore, which is coming up May 27th at Kenan's in North Wildwood. It's brought to you by Coors Light, and here's what we're going to do this morning. At some point during the program, you will hear a snippet of an event that took place at one of our Kenan's live broadcasts. When you hear that, you need to call in, and we will take... last time we did caller 27.
Yes.
And should we stick with that, you think?
Because
it's May
call.
27th?
Yeah.
That worked out all right.
Yeah. I get that.
All right, let's do that. So we'll take the 27th caller. When you hear that clip, and you will get the Cut the Line pass. So that means you won't have to wait in line, because there's always a big line for this event. And you will also get a private spot to sit in. Well, not a private spot. You're going to get your own table, essentially.
That alone is awesome.
It's a VIP spot, a home base while you're at the event. We'll give you a bucket of Coors Light, and then we'll give you a case of Coors Light to take back to your beach house. All the details available at WMMR.com. And there's another way for you to win. You just post one of your favorite moments from a Kenan's live broadcast if you've been there before, and we'll eventually pick a winner for that, too. That's coming up down the road. And the same thing. You get the VIP set up.
There's a guy who saw his picture in the promo shot that we have. And, you know, and so he's blown it up, and I guess he's wearing like a red, white, and blue
Star-spangled
jacket and everything like that. And, yeah, so we've been sort of going back and forth with him on Twitter. And he plans on – he's trying to win these passes terribly. But he plans on not only being there but wearing the exact same thing that he's wearing in this picture in 2018.
Love it. All right, so your chance to win, multiple ways to do that. But listen up for that clip at some point. Be the 27th caller and win this morning. We also have the Word of the Week prize. We're going to give away the summer concert ticket passport as well. And we have several people, as far as guests go, joining us on the program. We have comedian Jesus Trejo is stopping by. He's going to be at Punchline. Actress Sean Young is going to be on this
morning. Been in a ton of stuff.
That's cool. I've always dug her. Dune, you know, she was Johnny.
She's the first. Yeah, absolutely.
She's Ray Finkel.
Yes.
That's right.
Finkel and Einhorn. Finkel and Einhorn.
That's from Ace Ventura?
Yes.
Yep. And then finally, Tom Pelfrey is going to be on the program, and he is from Ozark.
Very cool.
So we have several people to talk to, lots of things to talk about, lots of things to give away. Let's take a break. Come back in a second. The entertainment report and the stupid question are what we'll get started with. And you want to hang in? We got a good day ahead of us. Be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Listen on our mobile app or go to WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
So, stupid question time. We'll give away a pair of tickets to see two of the nation's top comedians, Eric D'Alessandro and Vic DiPetito.
Yeah, it sounds good, right?
I'm like this close to getting him. DiPetito. And it is Friday, May 13th at Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. Some names I just can't get right, friends. So the question we're going to go with is this. Who is the youngest Times Person of the Year ever? 215-263-WMMR.
Youngest Times Person of the Year.
Time does, you know, Person of the Year, yes. Man of the Year, whatever it is. Who is the youngest ever of that? 215-263-WMMR. Call now if you know the answer. We'll go through some birthdays today. It is Friday, May 6th. We got a couple of musical birthdays to begin with, and there's one in particular that we want to go with. Are you going to pull up the song that I think you're going to pull up?
Yeah. Party anthem.
Yeah, this is for Nick McWayne. It's Bob Seger's birthday. Oh. Yeah. So let's fire it up. This is the party big celebration anthem. Party song.
Yeah, so. The favorite of frat parties everywhere.
You can hear him going wild. Bob is 77 years old. Talk about a guy who can write a catchy song, man. And lyrically, I love his lyrics. I think he's a wonderful lyricist.
I always felt he was talking to me.
Yeah.
The lyrics to Main Street are so good. And Night Moves, Like a Rock, American Storm.
Night Moves was a song Casey and I were talking about one day. And I said, yeah, it's about him, you know, being a kid and losing his virginity or being a teenager. And he's like, really? And I go, yeah, let's break down the lyrics. And you're like, son of a bitch.
It's great.
That's what that's about. Yeah.
So good.
It is a great song. And to put it to, you know, music that that is so catchy and easy to sing along to is just an incredible gift. And he is 77 years old today. So happy birthday to him. We have a member of the Foo Fighters celebrating a birthday today. And that is Chris Shiflett.
Oh.
Guitarist of the band.
Always a problematic name to say.
Shiflett.
Yeah.
And he turns 51 years old today, and it must be tough, you know, being in that band and reflecting on what has happened lately. And
yeah, it's such a good vibe. You have coming off the joy of the movie release and all, and this
top
tour and everything,
top
and
the
it
world.
Goes south.
Yeah, so that's sad, but happy birthday to Chris, who is 51 today. Former British Prime Minister Tony Blair turns 69 years old today. Represented well in the movie The Queen, I thought, by who's the actor's name? He's so great.
He is terrific.
Yahoo Serious?
Yeah, Yahoo Serious.
There you go. Yeah. That's the guy. No, Nick will pull up the information because it's total brain fart.
Michael Sheen.
Yes.
He's great. I thought he pulled off a pretty solid Tony Blair. Tony Blair turns 69 years old today. In the realm of acting, one of the big biggies has a birthday as well today, George Clooney. There you go.
It's a good movie.
It's a great movie. I love it.
I thought for a long time this was him singing.
Yeah.
Because he does such a good job with the lip sync, and it's not.
Nope.
But, man, I love that movie.
It is great. He's been in so many good things. The Ocean's series alone, or at least 11 and 13, I think are worth it. 12, you know what? I didn't even make it through 12. I didn't even watch the whole thing.
Just wasn't rocking your world.
About 30 minutes in, I'm like, this is not the first movie. And
Batman and Robin.
I never finished it. Oh, my God, Batman and Robin.
There hardly an interview goes by where he won't at some point apologize for Batman and Robin. It's like, it's not your fault.
So he's 61 today. Roma Downey, remember Touched by an Angel?
Her. Yeah. We got her in studio, did we not? She's married to
the producer of Survivor.
Mark Burnett.
Yes, Mark Burnett. And they've done a ton of stuff.
Yeah, it was a Christian movie that she was
in. Yes. Yeah, they do a lot of those things.
And then they did one of the 50 Shades movies just to balance it.
I did not know that they did that to balance out their
50 Shades
catalog.
Of Worship.
Was it the Bible? Did they do a movie on?
I think they did.
It was like a long,
the whole Bible, like everything that happened.
And they
in the
really,
Bible?
I mean,
the glossary,
the glossary.
A juggernaut producing couple. I mean, he has all the reality shows, the Great Race, Survivor, all those shows.
A few of the last movie titles that she's been in: At Jesus' Side, Son of God, The Bible, Grace and Goliath, and then Buttons, a new musical film.
Oh, Button. Preston, so you have the issue with Kurt Russell and who's the other one?
Oh, Yes, the two. I always get them confused. Oh, they don't even look alike.
They don't look alike at all.
Dennis Quaid.
Dennis Quaid.
But
okay.
For whatever reason, okay. They're of that same type of age.
And you confuse them. Yeah.
And I will mess them up. I don't
so,
know why.
You not confuse that a, her with Dennis Quaid?
No. Oh. And not that it's a competition, but when I hear Roma Downey's name, I picture Della Reese. Don't ask me why.
They were in the same show together.
They're on Touched by an Angel.
Is that why?
That's
yep.
Why,
okay.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Touched by an Angel.
So Roma Downey is 62 years old today. Willie Mays, the Say Hey Kid, is 91. Say it.
Say it.
I think
say, say it now, you mother effer.
For my money, the greatest player of all time.
He was incredible.
I mean, he was one of those five-tool players. He was great in the field. He could hit, he could run, he could hit for power. You know, for me, just the best there ever was.
Yep. He is 91 today.
Wow. Do you have one of his cards? Any of his cards?
I don't, man. That'd be a good one to get. But, yeah, and I believe he's Barry Bonds' godfather. And there was a bit of a rift between Willie Mays and Barry Bonds.
Was because, there?
Yeah, but Barry...
he wouldn't say, hey.
Well, Barry cheated his way to the top.
Yeah.
Willie was not appreciative of that.
Actress, and tell me if I'm pronouncing her name correct, Gabori Sidibe?
Sidibe.
Thank you. Precious. I never saw that movie.
Sidibe.
Precious is on, I've seen a couple of lists of movies that are like, really, you know, like this movie affected me heavily. Like, it's an intense film.
It is an intense film. You know who's particularly good in it, though? Mariah Carey's in it.
No kidding.
Yeah, and she's really good.
She's good. Okay. Yeah. Gabori is 39 years old today. She was also in Tower Heist and The Big Sea. Stunningly beautiful actress, Adrienne Palicki.
Oh, yeah.
39 today.
There was a point at which she was set to appear in a television series, Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Yeah.
Remember that.
That
and
was...
they have you can see pictures of her dressed in the outfit and all set to go. They're ready to promote it. And for some reason, it didn't come through. But probably a good move because
Gal Gadot's
perfect in it. But she was also in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and The Orville. And she is 39 years old today. And then the last birthday, one within our own family, Kevin Gunn.
Gunner,
one of the longest tenured employees here at WMMR. He does the production side of things, so commercials and promos and things like that that you hear that are pre-recorded. But long time, long history on MMR. He was John DeBella's producer. He did a lot of stuff with Pierre throughout the years.
Duke in the Box.
He is one of our, he produced for Pierre when he did mornings. Which Pierre never admits that he actually had, but Gunner has an encyclopedia like knowledge of rock and roll, and I do this great thing with Kevin. So when I go in to produce commercials in his studio with him, he has these boxes of old photos that somebody brought up from MMR's history, and they're candid snapshots and events and stuff around here. In these studios, and I will go in and I will randomly grab one and I'll go, okay, Kevin, tell me about this picture. And I'll just say, you know, who are these people?
Right.
Oh, that's so-and-so who is, you know, an assistant sales manager, and he worked here for this many years. And, man, we did this event one time where he came out and blah, 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 and he's a story guy.
We do that with you all the time. Hey, Preston. Who's in this picture?
Okay. That's my license.
Well, I see me, but the other people I don't know.
Kevin's like one of the people when you do go down there. Like I enjoy going down there. It's not just to record your commercial or whatever you need to do. Like you said, you pull out the pictures, but with me, like I'll just talk to him, and he always has some story to tell you.
Well, MMR would not be MMR without Kevin Gunn,
and he's just a sweetheart of an individual. So
he will be missed.
He's
still here.
Well, I'm just saying that at some point.
Yeah. So.
Because I'm on vacation. I miss him a lot.
Hi, Kevin Gunn. Happy birthday to you. And we'll move on and go with the stupid question. Who is the youngest Times Person of the Year to ever appear in the magazine 215-263 WMMR? We will go to Steve, see if we can get the answer. Hey, Steve, good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. All right, Steve, Times Youngest Person of the Year?
Greta Thunberg.
Yes, Thunberg, yes. At 16 years old. Hang on just a second, Steve. She's a climate change
activist.
Activist, thank you very much. And, 16 years old on the cover. All right, so we are going to set up Steve with a pair of tickets to see two of the nation's top comedians, Eric D'Alessandro and Vic DiBattista, together for the first time.
When this show finally happens, you're going to be so happy.
We need to talk to him just so I can get it right. So Friday,
what's your effing name?
Friday, May 13th at Live Casino and Hotel Philadelphia. It's the launch of their much-anticipated Funny How tour. Showtime is 10 p.m. Tickets on sale now via AXS.com. Must be 21 or older. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
The funny thing is, you actually know who he is. You have seen him in a lot of viral videos and stuff like that. So.
Okay. Yeah. Just the name I have an issue with. Yeah. All right. So let's see what we're going to go to. We'll start with Amber Heard. Amber Heard recounted several violent incidents with Johnny Depp while on the stand yesterday, including a sexual assault that allegedly occurred in Australia shortly after they were married. A tearful Heard detailed the time that she claimed he violated her with a glass bottle. We touched on this the other day.
It's pretty horrifying.
She told the... I really can't go into it. It's a little too graphic.
Yeah, yeah.
The cavity search?
That's a different one.
It was a different one, yeah. She said, I didn't know if the bottle that he had done that with me was broken. I couldn't feel it. I didn't feel pain. I didn't feel anything. I looked around and saw so much broken glass. I didn't know if he would know if it was broken or not, and I remember thinking, please, God, I hope it's not broken. Wow. She also told the jury that Depp was insanely jealous. She says he accused her of having affairs with co-stars like Eddie Redmayne and James Franco and testified that he nearly broke her nose after the 2014 Met Gala because he thought she was flirting with another woman. While on the stand, Heard also recalled accusing Depp of cheating on her with a woman that he had been with for years prior. She said she immediately confronted the actor and admitted that she took a swing at him and landed her first blow right before he hit her back. So she does admit to hitting him.
Yeah, they're physical both. You know, when she came in here for the movie she was promoting, she had been with a woman for a while. She's been going back and forth. That's why I was surprised that she got with Johnny Depp, because she seemed to not go that way, but she was.
So
it's confusing.
A spokesperson for the actor issued a statement Thursday saying, as Mr. Depp's counsel correctly predicted in their opening statements last month, Ms. Heard did indeed deliver, quote, the performance of her life in her direct examination. While Ms. Heard's stories have continued to grow new and convenient details, Mr. Depp's recollections have remained exactly the same throughout the six painful years since her first allegations were made.
You know, as we keep saying every time we talk about this, none of this looks good brought out into the light. I don't care, you know, whatever you're attempting to do, none of this looks good.
It makes them both look terrible.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
They need Marty Singer.
Heard's team issued their own statement saying that Depp and his legal team are unable to distinguish fact from fiction. They added Mr. Depp's behavior in this trial has been as pitiful as it was in their marriage. Apparently, they feel they must double down on their losing two-part strategy, distract the jury, and demonize the victim.
I don't care what the deal is. Imagine you have to get up in front of a courtroom and a jury and talk about stuff like, I mean, that private.
And it's televised. I mean, this is not a private courtroom hearing. You know, the fact that it's all being broadcast, it's on YouTube. I mean, like, and we hear direct quotes from both of these people. It's very odd.
Why is it being televised?
But you can, sometimes they solicit to have a trial televised, and sometimes the judge will say no.
Yeah.
But he said yes this time.
Los Angeles City Attorney's Office filed four misdemeanor charges on Thursday against suspect Isaiah Lee after the onstage attack of Dave Chappelle during his set at the Hollywood Bowl on Tuesday. This follows the L.A. County District Attorney's Office announcing earlier in the day that it declined to pursue felony charges. City Attorney Mike Feer said that he filed charges of battery, possession of a weapon with intent to assault, unauthorized access to the stage area during a performance, and commission of an act that delays an event or interference with a performer.
If I might just observe here, Mike Feer is a very cool name.
Yeah, I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. It might be Feuer, F-E-U-E-R.
Let's go with Feer.
So the attack took place as Chappelle was attempting to leave the Hollywood Bowl stage upon finishing a set during the Netflix is a Joke Comedy Festival, and that's when the 23-year-old suspect Isaiah Lee rushed the stage, tackled Chappelle to the floor. Suspect was apprehended by venue security and eventually handed over to the LAPD. Lee was arrested on suspicion of assault with a deadly weapon and is being held on $30,000 bail.
Get a super bizarre contraption of a like a toy gun with a real knife jammed in the barrel.
Yeah, replica handgun with a knife blade inside. He was not injured, and Chappelle was not injured and is fully cooperating. The other dude was injured bad, man.
Yeah,
his arm was,
we had a little conversation with him.
Was busted up hard. Netflix is a joke. One of the streamer's biggest forays in a live entertainment program. The company's first ever comedy festival was hosting more than 250 events in Los Angeles, which is still going on through this weekend, by the way. Khloe Kardashian is having feelings.
I have feelings.
About seeing her brief reconciliation with ex Tristan Thompson on the Kardashians television show.
I'm getting those yearnings again.
When the show featuring their brief reunion aired on Thursday, Kardashian tweeted, "Well, we know how this aged." In a separate tweet, she added, "Watching these episodes now, I definitely feel a type of way."
Doesn't that make you? They sit and watch their own show.
And then she continues in the statement saying, "Oh, girl, if only you knew.
Oh,
me
girl.
Talking to me.
Dear Lord."
So the pair briefly reunited after Thompson attended the engagement of Courtney and Travis Barker in October of 2021.
There's got to be a liability to dating someone whose look changes so dramatically that you might not recognize them.
You might not be attracted to
Who
them
are you?
Tomorrow.
Where's Khloe?
And of course they're going to watch their own show. They're the most
narcissistic
people.
Egocentric.
Yep.
Bastards.
JoJo Siwa is back with Kylie Prue. The former Dance Mom star confirmed the news in a series of pictures that were taken at Disney World.
I consider myself the JoJo Siwa of this show.
And shared on social media on Thursday.
Do you think so?
Yeah, well, I think since you gave up your trademark ponytail, it's kind of
very similar.
That's lost on people. So she said, "If you love something, let it go. If it comes back, ... and then a heart." So apparently
stalk it.
They're doing well. This is kind of fun. A couple of celebrity kids debuted their romance on the red carpet of Top Gun Maverick on Wednesday night. Andy McDowell's daughter, Rainey Qualley, and Bill Pullman's son, Lewis Pullman, are officially
How about nine. That?
It's kind of fun,
that
right?
That is cool.
Yeah. According to Qualley's Instagram, the two
Spaceballs Next Generation
have been dating since 2020. So, be kind of nice if that whole thing works out. We'll see. We'll follow. Going back to the Kardashians for a moment.
Yes.
Kim. No, oh. Not Khloe. Kim is responding to critics who accuse her of glamorizing rapid weight loss. After receiving backlash for revealing she lost 16 pounds to fit into Marilyn Monroe's iconic dress for the 2022 Met Gala, the reality star shared a message to fans on her Instagram stories. The May 4th post read, "Be teachable. Be open. You're not always right."
I mean, listen, they're annoying, but, like, they can't do anything right.
Yeah, I know. I saw this. I'm like, well, people complain about everything. There's always going to be at least a handful of people that have
Thank
an issue
you,
with
Kathy.
No matter what. And I think it's fine. If you're losing weight to fit into something for a special event, it's standard.
She also had a trainer who led her through everything. So she was doing, she's doing what she needed to do. And look, she had this huge moment. She was the focus of the Met Gala. Yeah. So mission accomplished.
Yep. So she had told to Vogue that she only fit into the dress after spending weeks running on a treadmill, wearing a sauna suit two times a day.
Oh, and I vomited around the clock.
Now that you don't want to do. And limiting herself to clean veggies and protein. So that's how she fit into it.
What's really, people hear this like, what an incredible weight loss. She has a staff of people. She has a trainer and a chef and all of this stuff going on that help her. If you ever, it's hard just for a civilian to try to drop that kind
for
of
real.
Weight.
I mean, listen, it's certainly going to be easier for her to do
when you
it.
Have a team.
I mean, but you still got to put in some work. I mean, there are things you can and cannot do for sure.
The only thing I know you and I share with Kim Kardashian is we both have butt rooms in our house.
Yep.
Yeah, mm-hmm. So we can
I love my butt
take
room.
Our pictures.
Ron Howard officiated his daughter Paige's wedding in Central Park, New York on Sunday.
Well, that's cool.
Bridesmaid and big sister Bryce Dallas Howard shared a picture of the nuptials on Instagram Wednesday. Bryce tagged her sister and new husband Tim Abor Nassar in the post and wrote, "Although it took a whole pandemic to reach this special moment, I can't imagine a more perfect day celebrating you two. Tim, I'm filled with gratitude and joy to call you my brother."
I think Ron Howard's father, Rance Howard, who has passed away, but you've seen him in tons of stuff, I think he was a preacher.
Oh.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah.
What's interesting about that, that happened on Sunday. Steve, I know you watch a lot of MeTV. I was actually watching Ron Howard as a guest star on MASH.
Powerful.
Powerful episode.
Powerful.
He stole his brother's ID to join the war at 15 years old.
I don't remember that episode.
Yeah.
He wanted to fight.
Yeah.
And he gets dissuaded by the guys, correct?
Yeah. So he used a racial slur to describe the enemy. And Alan Alda's character goes, well, you know, we could also call them people. Yeah. And I was like, well, that was pretty good. And then General Potsy in mouth. And then Alan Alda's character lost a patient. He was really, I mean, it was like, wait a second, is this a comedy? Like, what's going on here, man?
They took a serious tone in later years on that show. So.
I just remember as a child, I couldn't get into MASH because there were too many serious moments.
There were tons of issues. Yeah. Preston's right. At a certain point, they took a shift.
Yeah, I loved that show.
It became a dramedy.
Jennifer Grey revealed in View that she didn't want Patrick Swayze to co-star in Dirty Dancing until a tearful apology from the actor changed her mind. They like hated each other.
They did not
really?
Like
yes.
When it, when, yeah. Yeah, when yeah. they were getting ready to when they were casting it.
Well, there's a whole series of things.
It goes back to Red Dawn. Yeah. They were in this movie Red Dawn together, and Patrick was mean to her.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
And he would kind of brushed her off, and he played all these pranks on her, and he would say rude things to her, and she, you know, she didn't want to be a part of it.
So, Kath, I saw on social media, probably Twitter, a few, like, last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, there's a scene in Dirty Dancing that was essentially an outtake, but it was a real scene where, remember where they're practicing and he puts his arm down her arm and she kind of, like, laughs?
Yes.
That was her actually laughing, and his reaction to that was like he was really pissed at Jennifer Grey. It wasn't his character was pissed at her character. Like, no, apparently, like, and they left it in just because it was too real.
There are a couple of specials that focus. In fact, one of them is on the Netflix series, I think, The Movies That Made Us.
Yep, that's it.
I watched that one. Yeah, check that out, Kathy. Towards the end and everything, they got with it.
They did, yeah. And they ended up becoming great friends.
Yeah.
So, according to Grey, the ghost actor had played several pranks on her during the filming of Red Dawn, and she was over it when it came time for his screen test for Dirty Dancing. She says he had pulled her down the hall and said, look, I love you, and I'm sorry, and I know that you don't want me to do the movie. But she said, and then he got tears in his eyes, and I got tears in my eyes, not for the same reason, but I was like, oh, this guy's working me. And he goes, look, we could kill it. We could kill it if we do this. And the two ultimately killed it during their chemistry read. And she said on set, he was like the easy chair I had been dreaming of my whole life.
So, he also killed her teacup poodle. So,
that's
with a nail gun.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just for fun? Or
what a horrible
just for
fun thing,
an awful
to do.
Thing to do.
On a bet.
I'd be out.
On a bet. Yeah.
Bet you won't kill.
Bet you won't kill a poodle with a nail gun.
I'll bet you $10.
Bet you I will.
Her. Yeah. All right.
Nobody shoots my poodle in a corner.
Gary Oldman may be ready to retire. The Hollywood star who won Best Actor Oscar in 2018 for his portrayal of Sir Winston Churchill admitted that he would be happy if his role in Apple TV's Slow Horses was his farewell performance.
This horse is so goddamn slow.
He feels that after many roles perfecting unusual accents.
Everyone!
That's Gary Oldman, by the way.
Have you guys watched any of the show yet?
No,
it looks really good. It's not a crime drama. It's a spy drama is the word I was looking for. And he's sort of like the head of this spy unit. And there are a bunch of like misfits, and he's in control of all of them. It looks really fascinating. And I don't know, he's one of the best actors ever. So
he's just getting kind of tired of the work. He's spending hours in makeup. He wants an easier life. He said, when you're young and you've got that fire in your belly, you know, you're as a young actor, I'm up for anything. But I just turned 64, and I think perhaps my days of sitting in a makeup chair for hours and hours have come to an end.
I don't think so, but I'd like them to introduce Winston Churchill as a Marvel superhero and have him play it.
Oldman has received critical acclaim for the many transformations, making him unrecognizable in films like JFK, Darkest Hour, and Dracula. But he would be thrilled to end his career playing his latest role as obnoxious government spook Jackson Lamb, who runs a dysfunctional team of MI5 agents for the foreseeable future. So
I think he wants to direct, too. So that's kind of something he's looking to gravitate into.
Hey, this is pretty wild. America's Got Talent extreme star Jonathan Goodwin shared that he is now paralyzed and requires the use of a wheelchair following a failed on-set stunt of the popular NBC competition show in October of last year.
Do you guys remember this footage?
No.
The 42-year-old Welsh daredevil shared a few details of his recovery efforts with fans in an Instagram post on Tuesday. He said, a lot has changed in the last 6 months, but love is a constant, and I'm very, very loved. I'm looking forward to the next chapters and being a role model. He smiled while sitting in his wheelchair with his dog on his lap as thousands of supporters commented on his strength and positive mindset during this challenging time. He said, to answer some questions, I have a T11 spinal cord injury, which means I'm paralyzed from the waist down. It is likely a permanent sitch. And if any of you want to race, though, I'm pretty sure I can beat you. Aww. He was rushed to the hospital last year after the traumatic incident unfolded on stage as he attempted to free himself from a straitjacket while two vehicles swung back and forth alongside him, all while he was hoisted 70 feet in the air by his feet. He was supposed to free himself, fall down onto the mattress, position on the ground, and miss the cars before the vehicles crushed him. But the two cars collided, and they caught Goodwin in the middle.
Yep.
And it caused a massive fireball as Jonathan fell to the ground and hit his head. And that is probably what did it.
To be honest, I'm stunned he survived that. When you see that footage, it's like, how the F could you live through that?
A representative at the time said during rehearsal last evening for America's Got Talent Extreme, an accident occurred in which escape artist Jonathan Goodwin was injured while performing his act. He was responsive and immediately taken to the hospital where he is continuing to receive medical care. Shortly after the incident, Goodwin appeared to be in relatively good spirits as he expressed gratitude for the outpouring of love and support during the difficult time in a photo that was shared on social media from his hospital bed. Are we watching the footage of this?
Yeah, yeah, here, watch. Oh, here goes. Awful. They swing together. He drops down. Boom.
It didn't air, right? This footage?
I'm not sure that it aired. Okay. You know what? When this show debuted, I think, Preston, we had the conversation that this seemed like a ripoff of the Bert Kreischer.
Yes.
Yeah, they were clearly trying to get that audience.
His fiance said that Goodwin also lost a kidney, broke both shoulder blades, shattered both legs. Third-degree burns, broke his spine and severed his spinal cord, nearly died. And then on the operating table, he nearly died again.
Well, that's why card tricks are better.
Wow, man. That's pretty messed up. Let's see. Just a couple more quick things. I saw that... Where is this? There was a new trailer. Oh, I didn't include the story. New trailer for House of Dragon came out.
Oh, yeah.
Are you excited?
It's the prequel to the Game of Thrones. Yeah, it looks good.
It looks like they're picking up right where the series left off, except it's all new characters and it's 1,000 years before.
So it's a prequel. So it's life at Westeros High, right?
Westeros High. Yeah, exactly. So looks really, really good. Don't know the... It says August 21st. All right, so that's when that will be coming out.
What does George R.R. Martin think of this whole thing?
I have not heard.
Okay. He's not that fond of... I saw an interview, or read an interview, I should say, with him about Game of Thrones, and I think he's gotten a little bit more caustic about the way it ended and the way they ended the series.
He had
seemed to be, and you would know better than I would on this, that he seemed to be, he's like, okay, they do their thing, and I'm going to do my thing, and it's okay. But he didn't seem to be, like, critical of it. Now he seems critical of it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. I haven't read anything from him as of late, so I'm curious about that. I will definitely research that on my own. Paramount Global is at work on a new Jackass TV series.
Jackass.
After the successful theater launch of Jackass Forever. Paramount Global CEO Bob Bakish made a statement.
Jackass Forever. underwhelming.
Yeah.
Underwhelming. Yeah. And honestly, really? Yes. Oh, and I was so down with it. And there's about 85%. D jokes, you know, so that
a lot and listen, I have no problems with the male anatomy, but I was like, well, what are we going for? I mean, listen, the opening scene is that.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, and in theory, it's a funny joke, but, you know, I just saw it as far as the
story. They're funnier than that.
Yeah, they are. And they brought in new people, which was, you know, kind of cool of them to do. But you know what, man? I think maybe not having Bam as part of this, like, because Bam actually came up with a lot of, you know, if you look at the previous Jackass things, like, he would send these pictures of, like, these ideas that he would draw it out. Like, and
Bam does appear in it briefly.
Very, very briefly.
Yeah. It's older footage, but I think, Casey, you're right, because Bam was part of the deal. And a lot of these things, Preston, the best parts are actually in the trailer and what we're watching right here.
The president of Paramount Global CEO.
There's crazy guys here. I got the trench and the pipe.
pipe, and they got the guy's D looks like a dragon. Come on, man.
Come on, man.
Why are you talking about this? We asked about Ukraine.
Yeah.
Well, he just loves
it. Takes his D, he sticks it in the bag.
So, Bob Backish is his name.
Right.
He said the new Jackass series is the first project to come as Paramount Global launches TV spinoffs on Paramount Plus to leverage earlier theatrical success of movies. And after Jackass Forever launched in theaters February 2022, I have to say Jackass. The Paramount added episodes of the original Jackass series to the streaming platform. So they're backing it up. They're really going for it. They see an audience out there because a lot of people want to see that movie.
Yo,
so,
listen, they for the amount spent and the return, it's definitely worth taking a shot. But I agree with Casey. A little bit of tweaking might help. I didn't know a lot of the new people.
Have they aged out of it? Like, is it...
I think so. In some ways, and they're admitting it. The zeal is still there.
Yeah.
But the and they've all said it. You know, the injuries and the recuperation time lasts longer than they used to.
All right, we need to mention some new movies opening this weekend. So here we go. Ah, yes,
this is wonderful.
All right, so we got a couple of films opening this weekend, and we will start with Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness. Fantasy action adventure stars Benedict Cumberbatch, Elizabeth Olsen, Benedict Wong. Journey into the unknown with Doctor Strange, who, with the help of mystical allies, both old and new, traverses the mind-bending and dangerous alternate realities of the multiverse to confront a mysterious new adversary. 2 hours and 6 minutes long, so it's not like crazy long. Rated PG-13, wide release today. Rotten Tomatoes score 77%. That's kind of low for a Marvel movie.
I'm
not saying it's a bad thing, because these guys, who's Nick and Casey, who's opinions I thoroughly trust. I know it's going to be a great movie.
Yeah.
I was kind of surprised to see that number. You got it in the 90s.
It was a loud movie, too, press, by the way.
Okay.
Yeah.
I also think because there's a fair amount of horror, it's the most, apparently, Casey.
Oh, man. I was with my daughter, and I watched her, and I could see her in my peripheral jump so many times, like, out of, like, just being startled. It was great.
All right. Also opening this weekend is the movie Twin. It's a horror mystery. Teresa Palmer, Stephen Cree, and Barbara Martin star. Following the aftermath of a tragic accident that claimed the life of one of their twins, Rachel and Anthony relocate to the other side of the world with their surviving son. What begins as a time of healing in the quiet Scandinavian countryside soon takes an ominous turn when Rachel begins to unravel the torturous truth about her son and confronts the malicious forces that are trying to take hold of him. It's rated R. It's an hour and 49 minutes long. It's in theaters and streaming today. It gets a 43% on Rotten Tomatoes. All right, we'll get to the clips now. Mia Healy and Arana James formed a great bond while starring together as plane crash survivors in Kathy's favorite series, The Wilds. And in this clip, I don't know why it says that. Are you familiar with this?
I think it's Marissa and I had like a little confusion on the show when I started watching it. And I was like, what the hell did she tell me to watch? And I was watching the wrong show.
In this clip, Mia explains how their friendship became essential on and off screen. Here we go.
That dialogue with your scene partner in any way is really important. And it's just so amazing that Erin and I have a really great friendship. So we've been able to have really, really open dialogues about our characters and what they're going through. And it's, you know, it connects us as friends and people. And it also, at the same time, connects our characters together.
Shut up, dummy.
Is this the Lord of the Rings-ish? Not Lord of the Rings, Lord of the Flies-ish?
Lord of the Flies-ish?
I don't know. I'm not watching it, but like I'm looking at the video that's playing, and this is obviously a well done show. Yeah. What I put on was like your neighbor grabbed a camera and started filming in like a nearby field, and I was like, what the hell is Marissa having me watch? This is the worst show I have ever I couldn't even get through 10 minutes of it. Like, I was like, what is going
on?
Were
you watching the wrong streaming service?
Yes.
Or, oh.
It was a completely wrong show, wrong platform, like, oh wrong everything.
Same name, but a different platform.
Yes.
So there you go. All right. Next clip. Here we go. Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness director Sam Raimi was very meticulous with his latest addition to the MCU. And in this clip, Sam explains the goals that he set for this particular film.
To faithfully serve the fans of the Marvel sagas that have been going on for so many episodes and to be true to the characters of Doctor Strange and Wanda and give the fans what would be the logical next installment in their character's growth.
Doctor Strange in the Multiverse of Madness premieres today, so you will be able to see it. There you go. That's our entertainment report for you this morning. All right, a couple of reminders about today's show. Concert Cash, yep, we got that twice coming up. We also have a chance for you to win a cut-the-line pass for a live broadcast in North Wildwood at Keenan's Irish Pub for the official opening of the Jersey Shore. It's Eggs with Peg. It is brought to you by Coors Light, and here's what you need to do. Listen for a clip, a short clip, from a moment at one of our live broadcasts, the second you hear that, start calling. Because if you're caller number 27, you will get a cut the line pass. You won't have to wait. And you will also get your own table that you will have, which is prime real estate for that crowded room.
This is the closest you're going to get to like an adult version of a Willy Wonka ticket.
And that's for you and three friends, by the way. We'll give you a bucket of Coors Light for your table. And then you get a case of Coors Light for your beach house. So just listen for that clip. Call, be number 27 when you hear it, and you will win. There's another way for you to win. You can go to WMMR.com to do that. It's by sending some photos to us. So follow up on the details there. We also have a number of guests on the show. Sean Young, actress, will be on the program. Tom Pelfrey will be on from Ozark. And also comedian Jesus Trejo is stopping by. So we have a bunch to get to. We'll take a break. We'll come back in just a moment and continue on our Friday journey. Stay with us.
The MMRBQ is almost here, featuring Disturbed, The Pretty Reckless, Living Color, and maybe you.
Oh, that's right. This year, we debut the Preston and Steve Side Stage. Live band karaoke with Sidearm. Plus, our friends Froggy are going to be playing live. And it's the return of the Jackie Bam Bam Party Deck.
Want to sing on the Preston and Steve Stage? Get audition songs and details at WMMR.com. Then submit your video on social media using hashtag MMRBQ. Also, we're excited to announce our limited time 420 ticket offer. Four lawn tickets at $20 each. MMRBQ 2022, May 21st at Waterfront Music Pavilion.
Presented by NJM Insurance Group. No jingles or mascots, just great insurance. And sponsored by Pro Team Collision.
93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks your summer.
I think it's time to clean out the junk drawer here. It is a Friday morning before we go into the weekend. I want to make sure that we unload all these stories before they go bye-bye. And we're going to dig into the drawer, see what we can find here. I'm going to start with this one. I saw this. This is a story out of Japan. And spring is the start of the business, academic, and political year in Japan. So when its organizers roll out new rules and policies, for example, one of the prefectures just announced a new dress code for civil servants, and it touches on a very big change. They are no longer requiring neckties for them.
Ah, you always see the neckties.
Yeah. So, which leads to the question of, you know, why is that considered such a required piece of clothing when it comes to a professional atmosphere?
Where is your necktie?
You know what I mean?
You insult me.
So I would imagine that our sales team, up until pandemic time, it was required, if you're a man, to wear a tie, right?
I think there's probably going to be a casualizing, if that's a word, of a business attire globally after all that went down for the past 2 years, right?
Yeah. I would think so.
You would be able to get away with no necktie, like maybe on a Friday, and then
Dress down Fridays here.
And then they would occasionally, for charity, if you wanted to like wear jeans or dress down for work, you had to pay here.
Right.
And then all the money raised went to, I don't remember which charity, but I don't know. Why is the necktie dress up?
I was assessing. I was kind of assessing that as well after seeing this story. That why? What makes that so much more?
It's probably history. It's just a history of seeing that associated. Like, there, you know, was there ever an official decree that said the necktie is is formal wear, but here's the origin up on the screen here.
Neckties have always symbolized nobility, honor, and order. Originating in the 17th century Europe, Croatian mercenaries serving in France were the first to wear knotted neckerchiefs to signal their position and alliances. King Louis XIV of France admired the neckwear so much that he began wearing a tie as a status.
I mean, it's funny, though, because you put, like, the most reprehensible people in neckties all the time when they're in court. You know what I mean? Like, you put these, you know, essentially...
Think about when you wear a suit.
I know.
A funeral, a wedding, you know, a court.
Court. Yeah. So they require, judges require you to dress. I mean, there's that whole sequence
cousin
in
my Vinny. Cousin Vinny.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And then some judges are sticklers about that.
Are there items that sort of indicate high fashion or dressing up that you wish would come back? And I have one in mind. Okay. And I'm curious as to whether I liked when men wore hats.
The number one hat. The hat that says, I'm number one.
Well, no, like beer hats.
Oh, okay.
No. Like a
three-cornered hat.
Fedoras.
A guy that would wear a hat to work every day, you know, dress up in like the 40s and 50s. Guys would wear, you know, like gentleman hats to ball games and things like that. I thought that looked nice on men. If ties went away and never came back, I'd be totally fine with that. But I think hats actually kind of
look. You want to bring back the formal hat.
Well, I can't do it, Kathy.
Why? Why not?
Look at the shirt I'm wearing right now.
I mean, yeah,
Craig Lagans gave me this, so it's not going to be me that does it. But somebody could that's not Nick McElwain.
I think I'm the most obvious in my shorts.
All right, so I nominate
to adopt
Steve.
The hat. Yeah. No, I think, Nick, where it looks very good, like if you look at Sean Connery in Dr. No.
There you go.
He wears a hat a lot.
I know
lot,
exactly
and it
what
looks
you're talking
good.
About.
Yeah. But now, mm-hmm. it's reversed. A hat is considered casual. That is definitely a signal of casual attire.
Even like a Gorin Brothers, like fedora
I think so. I mean, even if it's really, really nice, it still kind of has a less than formal look to it, I think, personally.
Or it's considered less than formal. Like, take your hat off, you know. But usually...
Is it hip chic, Kathy?
Hats are definitely in style. But, Nick, I think they would take it off. Like, they would go where they were going and take it off. You hung your jacket and your hat.
Yeah, there's a function.
There's a line in Django Unchained where a guy's wearing a hat inside, and Django goes, "You don't wear a hat inside." Even I know that.
Right.
So there are rules about when you do and do not have that on.
Yeah.
And if at the ball game, Nick, you're still outside, so you'd see them in their seats with their hats on.
Right. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. So I guess maybe the hat was more of a fashion and function thing. More so than just being a fashion thing now.
Yeah, agreed. It probably
that's where
was,
they kept their unturned butter.
Uh-huh.
Hang on a second here. Speaking of Craig Lagans, he gave you that shirt, Nick?
Yes.
Okay, he's on the line. Hi, Craig. Good morning.
Are my testicles black?
Craig, I'm wearing the McDowell shirt.
One would think so.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, he's wearing the McDowell shirt you gave him.
Oh, great, Nick. I'm glad it fits.
It does. Actually, it's extra large, so I appreciate it. Thank you.
No problem. I heard you guys talk about ties. I own over 300 ties. So
oh, my God.
I'm not... Yeah.
What does your tie rack look like?
Which one?
Is it all I want to know if it's organized, Craig.
Yes, it's organized, all right, Kathy. Okay. My superhero tie's on one.
Yes, and he's got a lot. Yes, it. Yeah.
I'm not required to wear a tie at work, even though my job is business casual. But I wear a tie every day because
that's your thing. I'm not required to wear Adidas pants to work, but that's my thing.
Craig, do you feel that wearing a tie? Did you sense you command a little bit more respect when you're wearing a tie?
You're treated differently because when I worked in the mailroom at my old job at HYY, I wasn't required. And I was always, but when I started putting one on, I got for Christmas, all of a sudden, looked at differently, felt differently.
I believe that. Yeah, I think a tie conveys a little bit of authority, or at least that little excerpt. That's why every day I dress up. I don't have to dress formally, but I do. it commands a little bit more respect.
Yeah, and self-confidence permeates everything you do, and it feels good. Like Fernando, it's always better to look good than to feel good, darling.
Exactly.
Yes, marvelous. That's correct. All right, thanks.
Marvelous.
Thanks, Craig. Appreciate it, man.
I saw Dr. Strange.
I heard. And you liked it. Very good. And you guys did a comic book gurus
Gurus podcast video last night, and it will be debuting in just a couple of days.
Excellent.
And it came out great, Craig.
Thank you, Steve. Right. I love you guys.
See you later, man. I love you, too. All right, so anyhow, but yes, they might... if this might be a trend that we'll see where required attire may not include a tie. And I think that's fine.
I think, the tie was very prevalent in Japan. Remember there was around the time of the movie Gung Ho, in Japan, the business acumen, the morning calisthenics, that was all based on truth. There was a real, real heavy duty business acumen drive in Japan at that time.
I wore a tie every single day from kindergarten to senior year of high school. And I don't ever.
Maybe that's why you want to be casual now come to work.
Listen, and also.
You're like Laurie Singer in Footloose. You're bucking. You're going against how you were raised.
I was so uncomfortable all of the time.
In school.
And it was terrible. And then also, like, I used to have to wear Docksiders. And I just remember, like, and it's like a, I don't want to say traumatic, but like, we went to Strawberries and Clothier every August to get my school shoes for the year. And they were always so tight.
Do you ever cheat and wear a clip-on?
Well, it's not cheating when you're a child. I wore a clip-on until I learned how to tie a tie. And I think I learned how to tie a tie at, like, I don't know, like fifth grade or something like that.
It's pretty good.
And then I tied a tie ever since then.
Are you good at it, Case, tying ties?
I am, but I've gotten worse. I used to. When I was in high school, it was a perfect, like, triangle. And then I got away from it, and then I had, like, one of those, like, wow. I don't even know.
I think I'll probably hit it by the second time or third. I'm pretty good at it, but I don't do it a lot.
Enough.
By the way, here's an interesting text. It says, the world was gross, meaning when we were talking about when, where hats were pretty regular. And jackets and hats and long coats kept you clean, and you never wanted to sit on someone's sofa or at their table with those outside things on you.
Oh.
So that might have been a reason.
No, there's a point to be made for that as well.
Interesting. All right, so thought that was kind of cool. All right, what else we have here?
In that big old junk drawer.
Yeah, this is kind of, was that a mouse trap?
Oh, my God.
Man. I felt something.
It's hidden in there.
I thought this would go to City Beat, but I wanted to get to this now. The Philadelphia School of Circus Arts outdoor flying trapeze lessons are back.
You guys did that, right? Didn't you do it?
I did. Yeah. Marissa did it.
Oh, right. Yeah, Marissa did do that. So that's returning. And if
you think I would do that? That's what would happen to me. The line would snap.
You did diving, though.
Wait a minute.
Right?
Didn't you do that hang from the ceiling yoga stuff?
No, aerial yoga. I think they actually have it there. No, I didn't do that. I would like to, though.
Rochelle loves that.
Yeah, I would like. Yeah. But that, you're low to the ground.
Yeah, this
you're
is
hanging,
your,
but
this,
you're
close. 25 feet in the air, right, Marissa?
Oh, you're legit, like, hanging far. And, like, did it a couple of times and then, like, flipped down to land on the net. Kathy, you have to do
it. Wait, so you weren't even... No, you had to have been...
She was in a harness.
Oh, you're in a harness. Strapped in, but I like the thrill of, like, falling.
Of course you do,
Let me ask you guys, like, how strong does your upper body strength and your arm and hand strength have to be able to hold on to that?
I'll tell you how you know.
Quite a
watch
bit.
America's Funniest Home Videos
and
watch how many people do zip lines unaware of how your upper body strength
on a rope.
Second it goes, they fall.
So that's swing into like a body of water
They just immediately fall. So at Maury's Piers, they have a rope swing at one of the... I don't remember. I think it might be Ocean Oasis. But either way, they have a rope swing that you can go on. And the first time, I was like, I'm going to do a backflip. I'm going to crush this thing. I got about a quarter of the way through the swing. And my body was like, you can't carry yourself, you fat ass. Last summer, because I had been working out a little bit, last summer I was actually able to do, I don't know, three quarters of the swing. But so I wasn't sure if the trapeze was anything like a rope.
I always tell people, if you're going to do it before you do it, see if you can pull yourself up. That's a good indicator of whether or not you're able to do it.
Absolutely. I would injure myself. My shoulders would not be able to handle it.
That would not be good for your shoulders.
So after more than a two-year break, due to the pandemic, flying trapeze returns on grand opening weekends. This weekend, by the way, the 13th, weekend of the 13th, and adults and children as young as 6 years old can fly through the air on the outdoor rig at PSCA's beautiful circus campus, which is at 6452 Green Street in Philadelphia.
That's awesome. They discontinued their lion taming class, right?
I think so.
It was that thing last year.
So students will learn all the techniques of the circus act, including taking off from the platform, swinging, transferring to the catcher, and dropping to the net. The classes are 2 hours long and are offered multiple times a day. That sounds like a lot of fun. You can check out the info. Just do a search on Philadelphia School of Circus Arts. And apparently Philadelphia had the first circus school in America. Really? I read in this press release. Yeah.
That's pretty amazing.
Well, classes, like I said, 2 hours of the max to 10 participants, $65. That's not bad.
You've talked about the history of this country and just where we are. Philadelphia's bound to be the first for a lot
just
of
about
things.
Everything. Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So that's opening up this weekend. And if you're interested, go for it. All right. We also got here. This is more of a, this was a poll that was done, and I just thought this was interesting, and I want to see if what your guys' answers were.
All right.
There was a poll that was done with the question, how many times have you moved as an adult? Oh. So I did the math, and I realized, and get the clip ready, I've moved nine times. As an adult, that is. My entire life,
nine.
I've moved 12 times.
Okay, so as
nine
an adult.
Times.
Yeah.
So you're saying
nine times.
We're talking 21, legal.
18, whatever.
Or like out of college, like not college move, right?
Yeah. That
were you an adult?
Count.
And you
yeah,
moved?
But that
you had to move all your stuff?
Yeah, but like you kept half of it at your parents' house. You know what I mean?
I didn't go to college, so that wasn't me, but yeah.
I mean, like a real move where I had to empty the house
all
and
stuff.
All of my yeah. belongings. I wouldn't count college with that.
Then how many times have you moved? What'd you say?
One myself. Well, no, twice. I guess out of my one where I had to clear the house from one house to the next, and then we moved my parents, which I still had stuff there, but I didn't live there at the
you
time.
You moved their stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. How about you, Ken?
Three times. Because I moved in with my buddy Jeff for just a hot minute right before he got married, and then I moved from. Oh, wait, does that count to move in with Jeff? So maybe four. So I moved in with Jeff. Then I moved in with my wife to our place in Conchie. Then we moved to Lawrence Park. And then as a family, we moved to a different house in Broomall. So four times.
Okay.
What? I'm thinking eight.
Eight times,
if I'm missing one.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Where you fully moved everything cleared out
yes.
the house? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
I hate moving.
But there
moving
was,
sucks.
It's the
I got
it's
so
a
good
nightmare.
At it because I am a pack animal. My friends basically think that I'm a llama. and so I end up moving a lot. But a lot of those were apartment to apartment. So they weren't. It wasn't a full house.
Wasn't as
that's
bad.
Still moving as an adult.
I know.
That's
yeah,
still
yeah.
moving the furniture and, yeah. and stuff to live with. And Nick, how many times you moved?
Moving is worse than terrorism in my mind. I can't
it's
stand
horrible.
It. It's the worst thing on the planet. I think nine total.
Oh,
nine
yeah.
well,
times. L.A.
Nine times.
L.A. and then Virginia were like the only ones out of state. But the
nine times.
The reason it gets jacked
nine
up.
Nine times.
I got. I moved like five times post divorce, so like there was a lot
right.
in there, and
they
so,
still count.
Yeah, and when you're 40 and you move back in with your parents, that's a good one.
That's
still a
mess.
I did East Northport to Northport to Brentwood. This is all on Long Island. Brentwood to Farmingdale to Glen Cove.
You went up the LIRR.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And there was a brief, that doesn't even count, but New Hyde Park. So a lot of it was happening in New York. Then down here would have been Media, Manayunk, Mount Airy.
Okay. I moved from St. Louis to Salem to Jeff City to St. Louis. And then I moved three times in St. Louis. And then I moved to Bluebell, then to Glen Mills, then to Upper Chi, and now Harleysville. I've done it nine times.
When was the last one?
Nine times.
Nine times.
What's that, Nick?
We're all at the point
nine
now.
Times.
We will never do it without hiring somebody to help. But when was the last one you did without help? Yeah, without paid help.
That would have been when I moved into my last apartment in St. Louis. So
okay.
was that
the ninth time?
No, that was the fifth time.
I'll tell you this. I actually, from Manayunk to Mount Airy, I moved a lot of it myself.
Okay.
With my brother-in-law.
But the smaller stuff, not the big stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Like, there were a couple of things that I hired a truck just to bring on over to do that because, come on.
Yeah.
Who are you trying to impress?
Marissa's the last one we have to ask. She was eating when I turned her microphone on. How many times?
I thought you were going to do the connoisseur, and I have to eat when you guys are talking about food, so I'm eating. We have to think backwards. Center City, Manayunk, Wayne for a hot second, my parents. Are we counting college? Because, like, I moved to Boston.
Yeah,
twice
I count
for
Boston.
2 years.
Well, if
I don't, I don't
yeah,
count
if we're
college.
Counting, yeah, I didn't count college because you left, right, you left
half
like
your
stuff
a year.
You left half your stuff at your parents' house.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
All right, but that didn't count.
Okay, and then Villanova, Gladwin,
oh my gosh.
New Jersey. So I think seven.
Man. What if you count over your whole life, Preston?
12.
Okay.
Yep. 12 times Total.
So I was actually, I might be that because there was Baltimore briefly when I was 2 years old.
Yeah.
There was California when I was in third grade for under a year. Yeah. Interesting. Right.
By the way, some texts coming in. There are people that have moved 15, 16, 17 times.
Oh, my God. No
17
way.
Times.
As an adult. There's one that said 15 times, not including college. Wow. That's a lot. Okay. Well, something to consider. Let's see what else we got.
Nine times.
I can't believe that. How about this one? Your dog likely remembers much more than you think they do. Researchers in Hungary found the evidence that dogs have an episodic-like memory, which means that they can recall events from their past like humans, and therefore should be able to anticipate things such as you returning home from work.
We've always heard they had kind of a short-term memory.
Yeah, and they found also they can if they've had previous owners, they can remember things like that.
Well, then
yeah.
Where are the great dog-written biographies? And other-
Well, so Steve... Steve, I told you a few weeks ago I found there was a stray dog outside of my son's rugby field. He was such a nice dog. He followed me everywhere. Right. I had water, and he was drinking water, and I had food. He was eating the food, and he followed me everywhere. I tried to get him in my car so I could take him somewhere, to a shelter or home maybe.
Right.
He wouldn't get in the car, and I was like, something happened to him. He does not want to get, you know, he followed me every single place. And then Kath, he put his like two front paws like up into the car. And then he's like, I'm not going in there.
Well, either that or he's never been in a car
before. Or he thinks you look sketchy a little bit.
Possibly. But why would he take food from me?
I don't know.
No, but I was thinking, I was like, there's something happened to him and he just doesn't.
Or he's in the area of his home. So a lot of times with both dogs and cats, if they have gotten out. For one reason or another, they tend to stay in the area where they get the food.
Yep.
So I've had cats that have gotten out, and they'll 5-6 days later, they'll be at the door because they remember they associate the area with food.
Yeah.
So this study defines episodic memory as a, quote, memory of personal events and episodes in one's life and in humans. It is thought to be linked to self-representation because it implies the ability to represent the self in the past.
And all I've had a good life.
The researchers say that thanks to their episodic-like memory, dogs should be able to recall key events in their lives, such as their previous owners or spending time in rescue centers.
That's fascinating. I've always thought that. I always thought that I was applying, you know, a human ability to the animal. And I'll sometimes say, because we have a lot of animals that come into the house that have been abused or that were, you know, and we take them. And so I said, I wonder if they ever... If that's even a memory of theirs now, if they can even remember that, if you know, because I've always had the perception this is probably another way of, you know, the people who are pet people. I know you're a president as well. We are inflate the notion, but I always think, do they know they have it better here? Mm-hmm. Is that why you get the, it seems to be a little bit of extra love, you know?
It's fun. I you know, we love our dogs to death. And you know, there are times when they take on very human characteristics.
Oh, yeah.
And they feel like a member of the family, which they are in some respects. But every now and then when you will see their more feral side kick in and you're like, oh, yeah, you're
like
an
with
animal.
A baby bird?
Yeah, you're an animal. That's right.
Holy hell!
I forgot for a while. You're sitting there trying to calm the animal down, and they're just, like, not having it. You don't even exist at this point. It's like, oh, yeah, that's right.
Like the dead mouse gift I found at the back door this morning.
But they are pretty amazing, and the fact that they have that episodic-like memory is pretty cool.
Were you? So how come they can't drive?
Yeah. My dog tries to drive all the time. Press, were you growing up, did you have dogs?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I wasn't sure if the dogs you have now were like the first ones, because some people, you know, they
no, we had dogs.
They would have died.
Yeah.
Kath,
what about you?
No, we weren't. We tried dogs a few times, and one we found, and he was great. He was like a full grown black lab.
That's a wolf.
No. No.
Run!
He was a black lab, and he was great. And we had him for like I want to say like a week.
In true Romano fashion, did you name him the black one?
Well, we did.
Or did you give him an actual name?
I don't think we gave him an actual name, but his own. We found his owner.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he was
okay.
He came with a collar and everything.
Okay, so
and
you knew he had an owner.
Yeah, he had an owner, so we had to give him back. And then we had Dusty, who was a yellow lab, and he used to attack the mailman like you would not believe. And so we actually had to get rid of him because
I'm surprised you had a dog that was so cliche.
What do you mean?
It's a cliche thing to attack.
I mean, where our mailman wouldn't come and deliver our mail because so he actually went to my dad's friend and became.
He has a farm and he's running around with dogs.
No, no, he became a guard dog for a used car lot.
Okay,
and so he lived there. My dad, when my mom and dad got married, my dad had Daisy, who was a Doberman pincher.
Yeah.
And she hated my mom because my mom would do his laundry, and so the dog would sit there and growl at her. But that was
some effed up animals.
I think I was like 3 or 4 because Daisy was a little bit older. So when Daisy died,
so you've tried.
We tried, but we had cats our whole life. Yeah, okay. So we were the cat family.
Yeah, we had a lot of dogs growing up actually, but they're great to have in your life if you have the right environment for them. Yeah. All right, do we have time for another or...
We got to wrap it up.
We need to seal it up, friends.
I need you to stop talking.
We'll unlock the drawer again next week, most likely. We do need to take a break because Concert Cash is coming up. We have $500 to give away. It's your opportunity to also get some MMRBQ tickets if you haven't gotten those yet. And we will also get to the Bizarre File when we return. Make sure you stay with us.
Get social with Preston and Steve. Find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, and TikTok.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Sad Bro anthem from the band Froggy, who will be playing the MMRBQ on the Preston and Steve side stage.
I'm so looking forward to
Me
it.
Too.
If you go see Doctor Strange this weekend, there is quite indirect reference to Froggy. If you see it, you'll know it. And if you're a listener to the Preston and Steve show, you'll recognize it.
Okay.
But I want to see if anybody notices it. This weekend, if you go see the movie.
And, of course, they're going to be in Clerks 3, the Kevin Smith film this
coming. That blows my mind.
What, Case?
You know it?
Yes, yeah.
Yeah, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, all right. I am interested to find out what that is, so I'll have to see the Doctor Strange movie. But, yes, he'll be at the MMRBQ, and we're still taking submissions for singers in our band. The live band karaoke, Sidearm, is going to be your backing band. I watched a couple of the entries. I haven't gone through all of them
yet.
It's great stuff,
man. Awesome.
We got some really good singers.
Looking forward to it.
Amongst our listeners. So that's going to be great. And, of course, Jackie Bam Bam's going to be spinning a set as well. It's going to be a lot of fun.
It's going to blow up on Blabbermouth.
Something new this year. Let's do the B5.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, brought to you this morning by Annie Mac's Golf Tournament, benefiting service dogs for veterans. And it's almost here. You can become a sponsor by visiting fetchtheballcharity.com. Use the promo code ROCK and you'll get a free gift. Start with a story out of North Carolina. This is tragic and I don't know how this happened, but an ill-fated prank led to the tragic and heart-wrenching North Carolina woman's accidental death, according to the district attorney, Andrew Murray. So Rachel Olivia Buchanan, 19 years old, was shot and killed in a remote area just outside of the city limits of Hendersonville by her boyfriend, Chris Shields Jr., and a friend. So Murray said that Buchanan and Shields were invited to the house of another couple, James Barber and his fiance Autumn Faith Nichols, to hang out. Now, while hanging out of the house, the two men left to go back to Buchanan's and Shields' home down the road for a phone charger. Due to a legend around the couple's home of a Black Panther on the prowl in the area, the two men carried firearms for their own safety. Murray said there is no doubt that several alleged Black Panther sightings had the residents on edge for their safety and well-being. So while the men were gone, Murray said that the women devised an ill-fated plan to play a prank on their respective boyfriend and fiancé by secreting themselves outside the house armed with a dozen expired eggs to throw at them. Murray said that he was told by Nichols that when they heard the men returning, she squatted to the ground to hide while Buchanan bent over from the waist to shrink. Nichols reported that she passed gas, which caused both of the women to start laughing. The men who were positioned above the women hiding heard the laughter and perceived it as growling and sticks breaking. And both men also saw a dark figure and perceived this figure to be a threat. So both men proceeded to fire multiple rounds in the direction of the shadowy figure that they believed had growled and was moving. And according to Murray, after multiple rounds were fired, they heard Nichols screaming for help. Both men immediately dropped their guns and ran to help. They found Buchanan laying on the ground and unresponsive with multiple gunshot wounds, and they provided first aid until first responders arrived. Murray said in a statement, "I'm convinced that the shooting and killing of Rachel Olivia Buchanan was a tragic and heart-wrenching accident. No criminal laws were violated by either participant in this shooting." So,
what can you say about that?
I don't know. Generally, you want to see what you're shooting before you start shooting.
I would think so.
You know?
Or just blindly shoot into the woods, a la Predator.
Murray mentioned in a release that everyone involved tested negative for any impairing substances in their bloodstream. So, I do believe it was an accident, but I also think it sounds like there was some negligence involved as well.
Yeah.
So. A Virgin Atlantic plane had to turn back midair and fly back to its departure airport as one of the pilots had not finished their training.
Oh my God.
Flight VS3 had taken off from London and was bound for New York.
I got to be back by 4 because I'm taking landing class.
On Monday. And they were over Ireland when they had to turn back around. The first officer had apparently not completed the, quote, final assessment flight, which Virgin Atlantic requires for its own rules, though all the pilots and the airline did not break any UK aviation and safety regulations. The identity of the pilot who did not complete their training is unknown. A Virgin Atlantic spokesperson said that both the pilots on the plane were fully licensed and qualified and said that the safety of the flight was not compromised. So, technically, the guy was fine.
Well, were they ticked off when his mother dropped him off at the airport?
they turned around?
Yeah, they had to. Yeah, per their company policy. They said a new pilot was then assigned to the flight back at Heathrow. The plane took off again, and they were 2 hours and 40 minutes late as a result.
I'd be asking to see diplomas when I got onto that plane.
Yep. All right, a piece of property in the lost and found at Salt Lake City International Airport has been claimed after nearly a year, and the item was a taxidermied rat. The rat was returned to its rightful owner after she recognized it in a TV news report.
What?
Carrie Paulson said she returned to Utah from New York in August after attending a taxidermy class and was dismayed when she arrived home and realized that she'd lost her rat.
Oh, my God, that's my rat.
She feared that she had left it in a ride-sharing car, and so she didn't check the lost and found at the airport. Meanwhile, the rat was in good hands at the lost and found. As the supervisor noted, workers dubbed the rat Stuart.
And all right, adopted, Stuart Little?
That adopted it as an official mascot, often buying it hats. Aww. Paulson said that she was delighted to be returned with her stuffed rat, which she says the lost and found staff kept in good condition.
I miss you so much.
All right, a man is behind bars after police say he entered his neighbor's yard with a loaded shotgun and pointed it at several people. Brian Sarnowski walked onto the neighboring property while the homeowner and 9 other guests were playing yard games. So the homeowner said,
"How come you didn't invite me?" Well, the shotgun, Brian, the shotgun.
This is interesting what the homeowner did. He said, "I saw a silhouette of a bald man with a shotgun sitting on his shoulder. And I just had to react. That's all, a fight or flight thing." So the homeowner says that he has never met the guy, his neighbor, although the suspect's backyard faces the yard where the incident occurred. He said, "I got elbow to elbow with him, and I acted like I was his best friend. He said that that he had cameras, and we set off his cameras, and we were never in his yard, not close to his yard. That's the reason he said he had come down here, though. Court documents state Sarnowski raised the 12-gauge shotgun that had a blue laser scope and two rounds inside with one round ready to fire, and he raised it multiple times at the crowd. And the homeowner said, as I was talking, he slowly brought the gun down about hip level, and I grabbed the barrel with my left hand.
Yeah.
And his hand was actually on the trigger, and I put my hand in front of it. Sarnowski also told the crowd that he belonged to the FBI as well, which is not true.
Yeah. FBI shows up with those shotguns.
Throughout the unnerving ordeal, the homeowner said that he remained calm and continued to reason with the suspect. He said,
I'm an agent with the FBI.
He said, I didn't know if the safety was on or not. I was feeling for the safety, and I could never find it. And that's when the cop showed up. I didn't know if it was their lights or the voices, but I felt his grip loosen a little bit on the gun, and that's when I ripped it away from him.
So his reason for coming over was that he felt they were going in his backyard?
Yeah, that they were setting off his cameras.
Yeah.
And they never went in his backyard.
I need to go kill him.
He was probably done. Oh, by the way, Sarnowski faces over 40 charges, including vandalism and defecating in a police car when he was arrested.
Oh, man. And they didn't invite him to the party? Brian's here.
Everybody, watch. He's going to take a crap on the coffee
table.
Oh,
my God. He really does it. Now shoot it with your shotgun.
Pull. He was denied bond after being considered a danger to the community. So he's facing some serious charges. And that is what I have in the bizarre file for you this morning. All right. So how much time left? Looks like we got about 3 minutes left for you to enter the word preset. That's Contra Cash, keyword. All right, preset. Send that over now. Let's see if you win a little bit later on. And by the way, speaking of winning later on, listen for a Keenan's clip to play. Something that happened at one of our live broadcasts in North Wildwood. When you hear that, be the 27th caller. You will win yourself some VIP passes and your own VIP table.
Nice.
To the event coming up on the 27th. That's why we're taking the 27th caller. It's brought to you by Coors Light. And we want you to win, so be listening for that. It could happen any time during the show. We're going to take a break. We'll come back in a second. And we got our guest cavalcade beginning when we return. So stay with us.
93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks. Proudly supports the American Cancer Society Bike-a-thon Bridge to the Beach. Celebrating 50 years of riding for a world without cancer.
Hey, it's Marcus. Join me and Team WMMR on Sunday, June 12th for this family-friendly ride to save lives. We'll start by crossing the Ben Franklin Bridge. Whether you ride to honor a loved one or in memory of someone you've lost, you ride for them and with them each and every mile. All Team WMMR riders get the official Team WMMR t-shirt, courtesy of Wilson's Secret Sauce in Upper Darby.
The ACS Bike-a-thon, another way 93.3 WMMR is putting Philly first.
With home value.
We're waiting the arrival of our guest. There was the mix-up with the address. He'll be here in just a minute during this segment. But I wanted to mention this. It's pretty cool. A couple of years ago, the President and Steve Show got the honor of being inducted into the Hall of Fame for the Pennsylvania Association of Broadcasters.
That's right.
And they have announced their 2022 Excellence in Broadcasting Awards earlier this year. The annual luncheon is today. And we have five people from our staff that are going to be recognized.
How about that?
In category. So first, I want to congratulate Sarah Parker and Nick Murphy for the Outstanding Use of Digital Media Award. And they got that for the Rock Breakdown,
which is great.
Great segment that you see Sarah in. But behind the camera is Nick Murphy doing the work. Then you have Pierre Robert and Pancake and the WMMR team for Outstanding Radio Feature, and they won for the WMMR Remember September 11th, 20 Years Later program event.
Which was amazing.
And then finally, Bill Weston won, and the WMMR team for the Judges Merit Award for 40 Years of Pierre Robert.
Excellent.
Santa's got
to
go.
Yep, Santa had to go.
I need you to stop talking.
Santa's going to Harrisburg.
I need you to stop talking and listen to me.
To go and receive the award. So congratulations.
Is Harrisburg? Man,
that's where they're doing the luncheon today. I don't know if, is Murph going? He is? He's not here. That's why he's not here.
No, he's here.
He's here.
Yeah, he's hiding.
I can't, from where I sit, I can't see him. Hi, Nick. I see your hand.
Yeah.
There you go. All right.
That's awesome.
And then another congratulations. I got this email that it is from Helena Gallant. And she says, hey, y'all gadzooks, after 10 long years, our Ben, former intern Ben, has graduated.
I saw this.
He graduated. That was him. One more time, if you would, Casey, please.
As you can imagine.
And he graduated from Temple with his Bachelor of Arts degree in Media Studies and Production. He is the godfather of the radio station at Radio Bucks at Bucks County Community College and has been in radio for as long as I've known him. This is from his wife, by the way. He is, or his better half. I don't know if they're married or not.
He married his mother.
Congratulations on you two getting married, by the way, if you haven't. And he is also the genius mastermind behind the phrase, as you could imagine. And it would mean a whole lot if you could give him a shout out on the air. Thanks so much. And that is from his better half, Helena. So congratulations.
As you can imagine.
That's really cool. That's one of that segment is a very popular one on the Daily Rush list where he came in here a little winded.
Oh my God.
And that's why he's talking that way at the microphone.
That whole segment was great because we had an exotic dancer who was in here, and she was talking about going to college, and in class she would just get away with an easy grade without working hard.
Uh-huh.
And Ben was not, he didn't appreciate that.
You gotta be kidding me. Goddamn ridiculous. You wear a crop top and you get an A?
I'm working my fingers with a bone over here. It was so funny. That Daily Rush is one of my favorites. If you want to check that out, it's on our YouTube page, on Preston and Steve YouTube page. Did you have something?
No.
Oh, I thought your hand was up. It's okay.
No. I'm
stretching?
I'm not. No, I don't know why my hand was up. I have no idea. I'm just gesticulating.
There's been a couple times where I've glanced over and I thought, so we do these hand signals.
It's Hand Puppet Friday.
Oh, is that what it is?
That's what it is. Hey, you're supposed to draw a face on your hand and make it talk for you.
I mean, speaking of which, we are literally going to have a puppet on the air next week.
I know.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
He's a comedian.
Yeah, he's a comedian. But no.
Is it Piff the Magic Dragon?
No. It is, Felt Face. That's what this guy's name is.
Felt Face.
Yeah, you got
to
see
the Magic Dragon. He wore a dragon suit.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Comedic magician.
I think
he was funny.
Piff might be touring at some point, too, which is why I thought it might be him.
I like Piff.
I like Piff as well.
I thought we had him by here, didn't we?
We did.
He was in his full costume and everything.
Yeah, it's interesting when you have creatures like that, because we've had the Fanatic in studio from time to time, and the Fanatic doesn't say anything.
Right.
But
right.
He is one of my favorite radio guests that there is.
So. Menace.
Yeah. So I don't...
Breaking news.
Our that comedian. Came out of nowhere. What's up?
Well, our comedian is here. I just wanted to jump in. Well, he's on the elevator as we speak.
Oh, okay. So he doesn't even get to go into the Acme Lounge.
No.
He's coming straight off the elevator.
We have candy bars ready for him.
Brought into here. Do we have candy bars?
I think
here?
So. We got candy bars?
There's usually...
They're for guests.
We'll put a basket of M&M's out there.
Oh, okay. M&M's, sorry.
Are you serious?
They're not for you.
I didn't know this.
I'm aware.
Apparently.
Actually,
I do
you're
work
right.
Here.
You shouldn't have told Nick. I didn't.
Where did the candy go?
I didn't realize.
Nick has the chocolate around his mouth.
Why?
I don't know what you're talking about. Well, to be honest with you,
it's an outrage. It's a freaking outrage.
Whenever I see...
Working my fingers to the bone. She wears a halter top and gets a master's degree.
What were you going to say?
No, just whenever I see that basket out there with the M&Ms in the basket, I'm so surprised that there are still M&Ms in that basket, because usually if you put something out on that table...
She puts them away.
It's free range.
She knows. She's wise.
She's smart.
Absolutely.
Oh, by the way, I also wanted to mention something. This is a very...
Breaking news?
...good sign of the times. Man. Not really.
It's not breaking news. We go now to the news center high atop One Bala Plaza. And our correspondent Preston Elliott with breaking news.
We live interns have returned to the Preston.
Yay!
So we would like to welcome intern Aaron to the family of the Preston and Steve show, and she will be helping out. We're going to have different interns each day. So we had suspended, obviously, to COVID. The internship program went away, and I do have to admit, having fewer staff around was kind of a nice change for a little while. It is so great to have more people circulating back in.
Well, and the truth of the matter is that Marissa runs a great program that actually you get to experience what it's like to produce a show like this and be a part of this. And it was always good knowing that in a way we were helping sending people out into the world with a real taste of what radio is like.
Maybe we can have a weekly segment with Erin on her hair alone. Because she has like a gigantic head of red hair that...
Yeah.
I'm imagining the maintenance on that must be quite voluminous.
YouTube videos. That's
YouTube
what I'm thinking.
Videos.
How to dry your hair.
Yeah. Maybe something like that. All right. And with that, just in time, our guest has arrived.
He made it. Studio.
Fresh from his Uber driver's mess up, ladies and gentlemen, he will be at Punchline tonight and tomorrow. Please welcome Jesus Trejo.
Hey, what's up, everybody? Thanks for having me. Yeah, there's more than one address with the same number.
Yeah. So what? Tell us about your little adventure this morning getting here.
I tipped my Uber driver $50 cash. Yeah, because I wanted him to pretend we were family. He was good. He got out. We hugged and everything. Waved at me. And he said, what radio station are you going to? I'm like, I don't know.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I'm here. There was the whole thing.
All right. Well, you're glad you're here. Yeah.
I'm in here. Never on time, but.
Yeah. No, you were trying to be on time. Not your fault.
Yeah. No, I was here. Yeah, for sure.
You're exonerated in this whole thing.
Yeah. Yes. So we're at One so Bala Plaza. He ended up going where, Casey?
To like One Bala Avenue. Which isn't far away, but...
It sounds dangerous, too, because bala in Spanish means bullet, so I'm like, I'm in the wrong place.
I've worked here for 20-plus years. I didn't know that bala meant that.
I'm here to, like,
enlighten
teach.
Us.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Thanks. So bala, it was the whole thing. I was
we're going to Bullet Avenue.
Yeah, Bullet Avenue. One bullet. Like, that's all you need, I guess. Yeah. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
And then you got here and you saw how rough this place is.
It's beautiful, man. You guys have... Staplers and stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, it's our first time meeting, so it is nice to meet you.
Pleasure to meet you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, our pleasure. No problem. Yeah. Let's find out a little bit about you. Where are you from and getting into comedy and all that stuff?
Yeah, no, I am from Long Beach, California, born and raised. I am Mexican and an only child, which is weird. You don't have that a lot. I was on Ripley's Believe It or Not because of it. So.
It is stunning, I have to say.
It really is. Like, I grew up confused. I never understood how I still had hand-me-downs growing up.
But with no other siblings.
Yeah, it's hard to pick up girls in your mom's blouse kind of thing.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Let me ask you. So, Long Beach, that's where the Queen Mary is, right?
Absolutely. I grew up just down the street from the Queen Mary.
Right, which is a hotel. Is it like here with the Liberty Bell? No one goes and visits it because it's right here? Or is that a big thing in Long Beach?
It's a big touristy thing for sure. Yeah, but it's, you know, growing up, I would go down to the Queen Mary. My first job, as a matter of fact, was at the Queen Mary during Halloween.
They have events there and stuff, too.
It's haunted, supposedly, right?
Oh, it's haunted for sure. Yeah. My first job there was scaring people in the maze for Halloween.
Oh, wow, man.
And they put you in the boiler room, which is probably the most haunted
dude, that's
place.
Awesome.
And you would hear steps. Thank you so much. You would hear steps, and then, it's like, I only worked there for like 2 weeks. So I'm like, I'm hearing steps. So like, yeah, it's your peers. Like, I'm good.
I'm out of here. Yeah. Well, that's cool. Yeah, I love, we have a ship here that's the, I don't know, is it still here, the United States?
It's still there.
Yeah.
I thought it would be great to turn that into a haunted attraction or something like that. You know, and those, you can't help it. They're creepy, you know?
Yeah, those things, man, it's like, whoever can get a hold of an old building and you just think it's, like, creepy, that's half of the work right there.
Exactly.
You're just charging people to go into a rundown place, essentially. Yeah. What a great, foolproof business plan.
Yes. Well, while you're here, you got to check out the prison. Eastern State Penitentiary is one of the top haunted attractions.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, my God, yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Oh, man, I stay away from that kind of stuff. You know what I mean? It's like, I get scared very easy.
Do you?
Really?
Oh, yeah, I'm not built like that. No way.
Are your family's religious?
Very religious.
And so a lot of times I had a friend who was Mexican growing up, and his family did not want anything to do with horror movies, Ouija boards, and stay the hell away.
Yeah, why would you want anything with a Ouija board?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. I'm superstitious that way. I mean, I grew up with, you know, hardworking Mexican parents. My dad was a gardener. Used to go out working with him. No matter how much I helped him, he always told me that I was lazy.
Yeah.
And one time he told me that I'm lazy, and if I was a transformer, I'd be a futon.
He's a comedian.
Like, who writes that on a birthday card? You know what I mean?
So they held you to a standard, right?
What's that?
Their parents held you to a standard.
Yeah, they held me to a standard. Like, it was just like, my parents are from Mexico. I'm born and raised in Long Beach. So certain things I couldn't explain to them. Like, try explaining ripped jeans to your immigrant parents.
Right, yeah.
That's a hard sell. I remember one time walking out of the door, going to a show. My dad's like, hey, don't go anywhere. You can't go on stage. Your pants are ripped. And he got me. I looked down, like, no, I bought them this way. He's like, wait a minute. You bought them like that?
Yeah.
Really? I'm like, yeah. He's like, how much you paying? Like, $50. He's like, I give you something for free right here.
Right.
So no one's going to believe that your pants ripped telling jokes. Like,
did they react when you said comedy? Was that received warmly by them when you said you wanted to do this?
Warmly in the fact that my dad's face just turned red. I didn't work this hard for you to tell jokes.
Yeah, man.
So my upbringing as a comic started at the Comedy Store. So I worked there for a couple years.
Legendary?
Yeah. Yeah, legendary. Rest in peace, Mitzi Shore, you know, who ran the club for a long time. So I kind of cut my teeth there as far as, you know, just learning the craft. And, you know, I parked cars. I did maintenance, whatever it took for stage time.
By the way, some of the most famous comedians in the world did that same progression where you work the door and that's how you kind of help yourself get time on stage and you can bump yourself up a little bit. So that had to be mind-blowing to you to have that.
I mean, that was great. I mean, to be in the company of, like, you know, your Bill Hicks, your Sam Kinison, people who have walked through that door of, like, Jim Carrey, Richard Pryor.
Robin Williams.
Yeah. I mean, just so many.
Everybody. Anybody, any comedic name that you can think of walked through those doors and took the stage there.
Yes, sir. And it's such an amazing institution that to be able to even park a car or clean a toilet there, to me, felt legendary. My dad's like, you have a college degree, man. Like, you went to college for this? My dad always would say, he's like, if you knew you wanted to be a clown, you couldn't, like, save money not gone to college. I'm like, I'm not a clown. He's like, well, that's funny. So it's tough.
What did you graduate to? What kind of degree did you graduate with?
Marketing degree.
Okay.
That's actually good. It's germane to what you do to market yourself a bit, you know?
And if you come to my shows, you'll see that I didn't really pay attention in class. I'm learning how to market stuff. No, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I went to college, studied, ended up at the Comedy Store, and just learned the ropes there and be able to see the best comedians night after night perform. It basically was just like I was getting paid to learn, essentially.
Well, I was cracking up. You were recounting a story, doing some research on you, and you were talking about something, because I did stand up for a while, and you took a story about doing a college at 11 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, yeah.
And tell the story, because I've told a very similar story on this show, same sort of experience.
So one of the worst gigs I ever remember is me showing up to a college 11 a.m. They're ready to go. I'm performing.
11 a.m. for stand-up.
11 a.m. Yeah. And it's at a food court. And I show up, and I'm like, all right, well, you know, let's have at it. And so the person leading the event comes out. I said, okay, I'm here. You know, let's do this. And I'm like, where's the stage? It's like, oh, we couldn't find it. There were some pieces missing to the stage, so we couldn't build the whole thing. We just decided not to go and build it. I said, sure, that's fine. I'm like, where's the show going to be? It's like, right here. I'm like, do people know? It's like, yeah. I'm like, so where are the signs? It's like, oh, our printer doesn't work.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that's fun. God. So how are people, like, going to find out about it? So I just kind of keep that to myself. And I said, do you at least have a microphone?
Oh, no.
And then they're like, yeah, we have a microphone. Of course. It's wireless. I'm like, where's the speaker? It's like right over there. It's pointing in a weird direction.
Yeah.
So now it's like, hey, you're on in 5. I'm like, okay. So the host forgets my name. He goes on stage, and by stage, I mean just walks up and just starts talking to the microphone. He's like, oh, for your comedic pleasure, and looks at me. He goes, he kind of like mouths this to me and goes, what's your name? And then he goes, here you go, and just baton passes the mic to me.
Here you go.
I got to take the non-existing stage now. Yeah. And I go up there, and I'm just talking. And you have to do 1 hour at these college shows.
Oh,
and they time it. They set the timer. You got to do the hour.
Oh.
And I'm sitting there 20 minutes into it. I'm sweating through a denim jacket. And I look back at the promoter, and I'm like, you know, no one's laughing. I'm shrugging my shoulders, and it gives me the thumbs up. You're killing me.
You know what happens, and you'll back this up. The reason why colleges were so good for a while, and I don't know if it's still the same, they have a budget. They've got to spend it, or they don't get that
100%
the next year, so they have money to burn. So what I did the exact same situation, food court, except I told on this show, they didn't hand me a microphone. Do you know what they handed me? a megaphone, like an old style conical where
with
you hold
batteries?
It.
No batteries.
No, not even a megaphone.
Or just a piece of paper.
Like Rudy Dally.
Yeah, make a cone out of this, buddy. Yeah.
I'm like, are you effing kidding me? Like, you know, like at sporting events where they yell through, you know.
The cheerleaders.
The cheerleaders use.
But you know what? And I've never done stand up before, but being in this job, I've had to host events and things like that. Yeah. And I've shown up at some stuff and gone, really? And then you just go,
Okay, you just do it, you know.
And the kicker to that gig was that the food court, there was a restaurant under construction.
Oh no!
So you can hear a glorious jackhammer in the back. So I'm competing with the construction crew.
Yeah,
I mean, but it happens all the time. There was another one. I'll never forget this. This was a City College gig that I got hired for.
Yeah.
And I wasn't in the food court. I wish I was in the food court, put it like this. But they put me in a hallway. And there was like a little podium thing like underneath the staircase. And they're like, yeah, you know, just sit here. And there's a couple chairs there. I could have done the same 5 minutes worth of material and got a different crowd. People are just shuffling in front of me.
Yeah.
So the other day, I could have said that for an hour. And people were like, oh, there was a comic performing here.
But, you know, you figure it out. They don't care how it goes. They just want to be able to show whoever's ever providing the budget. Yeah, I booked this show. And as long as they can do that, it doesn't matter. So that's why you end up playing a hallway. Yeah. But of all hell gigs, like recently with Chappelle getting clipped on stage, have you ever had somebody rush the stage, or have you ever had a physical encounter? Because a lot of comedians talking about that now with what just went down.
Yeah, it's really scary. I mean, the worst that's happened to me is like I had a guy waiting for me at my car.
Oh,
and after a gig, and I made it easy for the guy. I mean, I parked at the back door of the venue. There was only one car there. I come out, he's sitting on the hood of the car. He's like, what were you talking about on stage about me? I said, oh, I can't remember, man. My memory's terrible. And, I mean, these situations happen. It's scary. And, you know, I've been jogging every day just in case. I mean, you got to run away.
Be ready to run.
You got to get your endurance up, man. I am not a fighter. I can't fight.
Nor is it your job. A good venue, and you're playing a good venue with Punchline. They have a... you know, they know what to do. And listen, it shouldn't be the case. Here's a little a caveat to all this. If you're not the laughing type, don't go to a comedy show.
Sure.
Yeah,
look the comic up ahead of time. Yeah. If it's to your liking, great. If not, don't go. And I can't fight, man. I took karate as a kid, but like, I got all the way up to orange belt, which is just perfect attendance. Other than that, I don't know what I'm doing up there.
Orange is perfect attendance?
Yeah.
Run. Jesus, I wanted to ask you about your show, Tacos con Toro.
Yes, sir.
That is where you sit down with other comedians. I'm looking at a clip of this right now, and so I see Mark Maron and Bobby Lee. And what's the show all about?
So we're working right now on the third season, working with the great people over at First We Feast Complex Media, and we got this show called Tacos con Todo, which basically we map out a whole where all the great taco spots in L.A. are, which is at every turn.
Oh, you're talking about language.
We sit down with comics and we chop it up, but this season it's going to be really, really amazing. We got, you know, Bobby Lee, like you said, and... Mark Maron, we sat down. I took him to one of the most amazing birria spots, which is goat meat. And I took him down there.
Yeah. We need you to go to, there's a spot over here. Foxy Lady Chef has a, oh my gosh, what's the name of her spot? What's it called? Juana Tamale. You got to go there.
Which he's doing is billed as West Coast taco, right?
Yeah, so there weren't any places around here that were like what she saw out west.
Oh,
and,
really?
And how do you say it? Birria?
Birria.
Okay. Birria, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I'm white.
Nailed it, dude.
But anyway, it's an amazing, amazing spot, and it's in like South Philly.
It's taken off.
Yeah, totally taken off. But I mean, if that's what you like.
Yeah, no, I'm into it. As I was coming up here, I was told that there was a lady who has a pop-up in her backyard and makes like a birria type thing, and was featured on some show on Netflix. Is that what we're talking about?
Is it possible? It might be.
I don't really know. She's definitely making waves, and so her deal is she was running her stuff out of a underground art. So it was another sort of like musical venue, and she was running her thing out of there. And then the pandemic happened, blah blah blah,
and took off.
She had a really nice following on Instagram, and that's how I ended up finding out about her about a year ago.
She's also a big weed aficionado.
She's a big weed aficionado.
Oh, okay. I feel like we can relate.
Well, what's your preference for I mean, is there any bad taco or are all tacos?
I thought about weed. I'm like, I'm more of a sativa kind of guy.
They are related, but, right?
Yeah. I thought that's where you're going with it. I'm like, all right, let's have my answer ready.
There's a place called South Philly Barbacoa. I think that's the one you saw on Netflix, and that one's great too. So the one that Casey recommended is phenomenal. Foxy Lady Chef is great, but South Philly Barbacoa, I think that's the one you saw on Chef's Table, right?
Yes.
That's really damn good, and that's one of those ones where you have to get there at like 10 in the morning, 11 in the morning, because whatever they make for the day
is done.
It's done. Yeah.
Is that every day?
It is. And listen,
oh my God.
I don't know how many times you've been to Philly, but it's a great food town. There is a lot of really great restaurants in the city.
It's a great food town. I'm curious to go because everyone has their preference. Philly cheesesteak is to Philly what tacos are to L.A. Everyone has their, like, you can't go there. You got to go over here.
No, you're spot on.
That's a tourist spot. And you're like, no, that's pretty authentic. So as far as Philly cheese, what's the spot?
So again,
you're going to get five different answers.
It's a litmus test. Yeah, I'll tell you what
I like. Gyms.
Gyms. That's what I've heard a lot more.
I like
Geno's.
Yeah.
But I also honestly I like
three answers already.
So the actual there's actually the place Donkeys
in Camden.
It's in Jersey.
Yeah.
That's a rocking
and some people don't consider
cheesesteak.
Yeah, some people don't consider an actual cheesesteak because it's served.
It's
such a tough thing.
A poppy
right?
Kaiser roll.
He just told us that he was scared to come here because Bala means bullet in Spanish. Don't send him to Camden.
No, I'll go over there. I've done colleges over there. Rutgers.
There you go. Sure. Like, you know it.
I'm not scared. I mean, I grew up in the hood.
So what's your favorite? Again, you probably won't have one single answer, but what's your favorite taco?
You know what? One of my favorites is this place called Evil Cooks, right? So it's a couple. And they're very heavy metal. There's a pentagram on the side of their truck, but they operate out of a front yard of a house. And they have some of the most amazing tacos ever. They stamp all the tortillas with like a carbon, like a charcoal kind of a pentagram thing.
Duh.
Yeah. So I don't know if you guys are familiar with Al Pastor. Which is like the almost like a shawarma thing that kind of spins and it's red. So that's Al Pastor.
Okay.
They do one, but it's all black. And the reason it's all black is because it's an old Aztec recipe and it's like spices and that kind of thing. So it looks off, but it is the most delicious thing. Also, chorizo. They have chorizo tacos, which is green instead of red.
Okay.
There it is. And it is the most.
Wow.
They make an Al Pastor thing out of squid. So this guy is.
Wow.
I mean, he's thinking outside of the box.
Love that.
He has some dessert tacos, and it's like cheesecake. There's a squid deal.
Holy hell.
Wow, that looks good. I don't do squid.
I love squid.
Is it the hotter the better for you, or is it all nuances?
It just depends what I got to do the next day. Yeah, I mean, it's like, how spicy are we going?
Yeah.
Green sauce, red sauce, it's almost like a green or red, a blue or red pill. Depends what you want to do tomorrow. Yeah.
Where do you want to be in the Matrix?
Yeah. So they got some amazing dessert tacos. So this guy has a taco with a churro in it. Jeez. Then there's another one that has like a flan taco, and they have like rose petals and mint. So these guys run a street taco stand, but it's like a cordon bleu Michelin experience.
Wow. Oh, okay. Man. All right. Next time I'm headed to LA, I'm consulting your social media for sure, man.
Oh, let's go together, dude.
Yeah. So,
I mean, listen, I love a taco. If I go to any like sort of food truck festival, I'm going to the taco truck first. But at the same time, mm-hmm. I love Taco Bell. What are your thoughts on Taco Bell? Because I'm going to Taco Bell today for lunch.
I was talking about I like weed. I'm a sativa guy, so yeah. Taco Bell's right there. They're hand in hand.
Yeah. They're basically medicinal.
Yeah, and by the way, you know New Jersey's Jersey's recreational now. You know that, right? So
I did not know
if you
that.
Do go to Donkey's, you can go stop somewhere else while you're
That's
over there.
Great. Yeah. Hey, that's a great way to put it. It's like Taco Bell can be medicinal. You got some stuff you want to get rid of?
Yeah.
Get to a Taco Bell. Empty the trunk.
I wanted to tuning in. Jesus Trejo is going to be at Punchline tonight and tomorrow. Real quick, I wanted to ask a question because, Steve, you had mentioned, Jesus and your parents being very religious. And yes, your name, Jesus, is that a result of your parents' religion or?
I'm going to say yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like Jesus, it's such an odd thing. And I don't know exactly why they named me that, but it was like.
What, cool. How often you get someone calling you Jesus that sees the name written? Or
all the time.
All the time?
Mm-hmm. You know what's interesting? So I do shows in Mexico. I go to Mexico, and my birth certificate, they're looking at it, and the promoter, the paperwork that they had did not match because they didn't have the, what can only be described as the accent.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I don't know if that's how you pronounce it, but yeah. So the thing. So they're looking at my paperwork, and they're like, yeah, your name is not Jesus Trejo. It's Jesus Trejo.
Wow.
I'm at Benito Juarez Airport in Mexico City, and they're not letting me through because of the mismatch. Wow. And they're being real sticklers about it. And I'm there, and then, you know, they have to call over another guy, and he's like, it's fine. It's Jesus. But they literally were looking at the thing, and it made me realize. I started spiraling. I'm like, is my real name Jesus Trejo?
Am I Jesus?
Legally.
That's crazy. I didn't realize they'd be that much of a stickler.
I didn't either. I mean, I've gone a bunch of times, never in that capacity. I mean, when I started going to Mexico to perform, never in that capacity, and that's when they got me. And I'm like, oh, wow. Like, hey, Ma, you're not going to believe this. But you forgot the accent, and apparently my real name is Jesus Trejo.
Yeah. Well, what about Trejo? Because you have, obviously, you get the Danny Trejo thing, right?
Yeah. Not related at all.
Yeah, yeah.
I met him once when I was in high school at a car show. He was like the coolest guy ever.
Yeah.
And actually, a couple months ago, I saw him at a red light off a Sunset. And I turned around. I'm like, no way. Roll down the window. I'm like, hey, over here.
Yeah. Did you see the documentary about, we've had him on a couple times, and there's a documentary, his prisoner number. About his time in, I think it was Chino, where he was.
Oh, wow.
Holy hell.
I would love to see that.
And the guy has become, through all the crap he's gone through, the most inspiring.
He's also funny, dude.
He's funny. Yeah.
He's a funny guy.
He's machete. Yeah.
I love his philosophy when it comes down to choosing roles. I don't know if you guys heard of that.
Yeah, no.
He'll only do a role for a bad guy if the bad guy dies.
Yeah.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah, that's the thing. So it's like if you look it up, it's a whole thing that he subscribes to. And I think that's a.
Wow.
I mean, talk about artist integrity. Like he plays usually a certain type of character, but he makes sure that, you know, this character doesn't kind of move on kind of thing.
Wow. Well, he goes and does the scared straight stuff and all. You know, he'll go. He talks to prisoners all the time, takes out his own schedule. Yeah.
He's got a restaurant, too, doesn't he?
Yep.
Yes, he does.
Yeah. Trejo Tacos. Yeah.
Have you been there yet for the show?
Yeah. He has donut shops. He has a bunch of stuff. That guy's
an
amazing businessman, just an all-around swell guy.
That's awesome.
You don't get free tacos at Trejo Tacos, do you?
You should.
I hope so. I'll pull out my ID, but I would love to meet him.
Well, we have to wrap this interview up, but I just, before we get rid of you here,
yes,
I wanted to sing you a song that I sang at Bible school every single day. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, how do you spell relief? J-E-S-U-S. J is just for asking. E is for easy. S is for salvation. U S for us. How do you spell relief? You guys embarrassed for me yet?
Yes.
J-E-S-U-S.
It took about a quarter of a second.
Yeah. Don't worry. Yeah. I'm embarrassed for myself as well, but that's for you, G.
There'll be barrels of Kool-Aid when you leave. You can take a sip. They're laced with cyanide.
Never had that happen before, have you?
No, never.
I did that for
always
you.
Remember.
No, yeah. I always remember. He said he was going to sing, and then he starts reading it. I'm like, oh, that's singing. Okay. I don't know what they called singing at that school, but I appreciate you saying that out loud to me. Yeah. No, I'm kidding. That was very sweet, brother. I appreciate that.
Jesus is at Punchline tonight and tomorrow. Two shows both nights, 7:30, 9:45. You can get tickets at punchlinephilly.com. Nice to meet you, Jesus.
Yeah. Nice to meet you guys. Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure.
Have a good time. In Philadelphia. Get your addresses correct with your Uber driver.
Yes, sir.
Your next destination. Yes, sir. Jesus, thank you. We're going to take a break and we'll be right back. We're going to get actor Sean Young on when we return. Stay there.
Did something happen?
It's MMR's Concert Cash.
We were just talking about how to spend $500.
Tune in weekdays, even hours.
I think you know this already, but you've won $500.
Yes, I've won.
Great day in the morning.
You could win $500. plus a pair of tickets to the MMRBQ May 21st.
Congratulations on winning the cash, my man.
Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Love it.
See official rules and details at WMMR.com. Concert Cash.
Sponsored by AAA Distributor on Grant Avenue. In stock kitchen, bath, and flooring products.
93.3 WMMR.
Thank you for listening. Cheers.
WMMR rocks.
So, I think, you know what, we didn't even do this last week. We missed a week.
We did.
Connoisseur. So, I think we need to do that now. So, we make sure that you're well fed.
It's time for the Lost Edition of the Connoisseur. Excuse me.
The Lost Edition. All right, we're going to start with something local. The place just opened a few days ago, and it is the largest outdoor restaurant in Philadelphia.
Oh, yeah, I saw that.
And it's called Liberty Point. And it's got a great view. It's right there on the Delaware River, Penn's Landing.
You a big al fresco guy?
Yeah.
I love to do that. Outside. It's so nice.
Yeah, it's wonderful.
Especially in the dead of winter.
Yeah, it's the best when you do it. Yeah. No, when you get a great day, like yesterday, and you can be outside eating a meal, it's wonderful. So it's at the Independence Seaport Museum.
Yeah, it was perfect,
right
actually.
Right there
yeah.
at Penn's Landing. So it's over 25,000 square feet. Yeah. So to give you an idea of what that size is like, by comparison, the city's second largest restaurant is the nearby Morgan's Pier on the Delaware. That has a capacity of 500. This has a capacity of 1,400.
Yeah.
That's how big this place is.
How do you staff that?
Good question. I think they're looking to, well, they have 150 employees, 5 bars and 7 event spaces,
wow.
Ringing the museum's exterior on 3 main levels. So, yeah, pretty cool. It is designed to be a sit-down dining experience with live music for families and tourists, while Morgan's Pier typically draws a younger adult crowd seeking a backyard barbecue or beer garden, they say. Michael Klein is the one who wrote this article. Entertainment will include live music Friday and Saturday and DJs throughout the week at the street levels, a 75-seat indoor bar / dining room that will be open year-round.
You know what? There's still, again, with that whole area, there's still so much work to be done and so much potential still unrealized. I'm excited for them to progress because there was also that plan of having every half mile or so, some sort of park-like situation.
There is a $2.2 billion plan for all of Penn's Landing that's in the works, Steve.
I love
12
it.
New towers of homes, shops, and offices on either side of the park are being planned over the highway between Chestnut and Walnut.
They say they're actually hiring new people to play with themselves along the pier. So
goodness, yes. We have something to watch and talk about while we're eating our wonderful dinner at Liberty Point.
I'm totally on board.
No, it's like, hey, hey!
Oh, my God. I'm on board with all of this stuff. I just, you go to some other cities' waterfronts, and they're just great, and you know, you want to make this a place where you know, not only just tourist destination, but you know,
in case obviously it's going to cost money, but it will make a crap load of money.
And I was wondering about that in general, Steve. Like, okay, so it's a $2.2 billion investment,
It's like a billion,
it's like a billion, but twice that.
That's one of the guys sitting out front. Casey, do you have that?
I have that right here.
Will you?
But
oh my Lord, he's touching his own penis.
Go ahead. How much of that $2.2 billion actually done then, and not just in retail? Like, how much of that ends up getting reinvested back into the city? Now, hear me out. By like, you have to pay taxes.
I don't know.
Do you know what I mean? Like, so they're going to pay these these contractors or whatever. Those contractors then have to pay taxes. Their employees for working in the city have to pay their city wage. Do you know what I mean? Like,
I know that no one, whatever it's going to happen, someone's going to make a lot of money somewhere. But mm-hmm. but if the whole thing that's just been sitting there, how long have we been, for the years we've been doing this show, that we've always said, man, you know,
I'm fairly certain that Philadelphia has more waterfront property than any other city in the Northeast, maybe any other city in the country. And it also has
tremendous,
has the most amount of undeveloped waterfront property. If you consider, you know, how much of the Schuylkill and then the Delaware is surrounds where the city is, even more than New York with, you know, all of the rivers and the sound around New York City. So. But Casey, you know, that's part of the reason why there's significant hotel tax. You know, part of that is supposed to be reinvested into tourism and investing in more people coming to the city in the first place.
We just went to Chicago for the Radio Hall of Fame.
Yeah, yeah.
Talk about a city that takes advantage of its waterfront, man.
Yeah.
Or at least the river that goes through there. Once you get out to the lake, it's a little a little different, but yeah, you have all this. People want to be by water.
They do.
It really is a beautiful thing for us as human beings to sit.
Let's go there right now.
Yeah. And look at.
But for a little while, the Delaware Avenue was a spot to go to. Like I was in my early 20s, it was a cool spot to go to. It was you had nightclubs and
you would drive along and there was just stuff going on all over the place.
Yeah, yeah. And then it sort of got away from that.
People do want to be on the water. There are new apartments going up in Conshohocken. And there's in Manayunk right on the Schuylkill River. And I was driving the other day. It was after we had like a heavy rainstorm. And it was like diarrhea brown. And I'm like, oh, wow. Luxury apartments on the water.
Nice. You're right. When the rain kicks in, that water turns.
It was
Preston,
awful.
Dirt brown.
It's like they built this complex, a couple of apartment complexes in Manayunk that really faced the towpath water.
Right.
You know? Yeah. We're a couple of dead ducks and rappers are floating.
Yeah. All right. Well, anyhow, we're talking about food here, gang.
Oh,
it's the connoisseur. So Liberty Point is now open. You can check that out. A couple of things I want to mention as far as local events, too. And this is MMR's big friggin' deal. The Skip Back Spring Wine Fest is happening.
No, you live near Skip
Back. It is my backyard, essentially. And it is the Wine Fest is May 21st. And we have the big friggin' deal. You can get two general admission tickets to the Skip Back Spring Wine Fest for $25, and that's half off the regular price.
I went last year. I was there, and it was a lot of fun. It's great.
Excellent. And Skip Back is a wonderful little town to walk through.
Yeah.
It's a wonderful village, if you will.
Do they have tours of your house when you're like map you of the stars?
Yeah. We'll open it up for the wine fest.
Now that they had to cross Cosby off the list.
I'm no longer
in prison.
Our most famous resident is not there any longer.
So they have not there, but you talk about opening up your houses. My friends used to live in the Delaware Water Gap, and they always had a music festival there every year. It was like a bluegrass festival. Yep. I can't remember exactly which type of music it was, but essentially people, their houses were open. And
serving food and stuff?
No. But you'd be drinking and stuff like that. And strangers would walk in and you'd pour them a glass of wine or whatever. To me, that was weird, but he loved it.
Huh?
Yeah, okay. He and she liked it, Dan and Colleen. But it was just that day or that weekend.
Magical.
For them it was, yeah.
Get your Spring Wine Fest tickets now, the big friggin' deal, and that is through the 8th. So this weekend it'll wrap up. You can do that now. All right, here's another event that is taking place, and I just got the press release this morning. Ardmore Restaurant Week is back, and tastier than ever, it says.
I love Ardmore!
Then you'll love this, Steve, because foodies can find $20, $30, and $40 special three-course menus at 14 participating restaurants. And that's between May 12th and the 22nd.
Is Osushi on there? Do you see the?
Yes, it is.
Okay,
yes.
All right.
Yes.
I've heard good things. I haven't been yet. My son went. My son's new favorite food is sushi. I'm excited that he's excited about it. We go to a place called Azi, which is not in Ardmore, but anyway, he's been raving about this Osushi place, and I got to check it out.
Yeah, Osushi is in there. Otana, Buena Vista Mexican, Char and Stave, Iron Hill Brewery, Jack McShay's, John Henry's Pub, Juice Junior, Local Wine and Kitchen. So you can get the full list at ardmorerestaurantweek.com. So I love events like this.
There's a place, there's a ramen restaurant in Ardmore, I think it is.
Where's that?
I think it's on Lancaster Avenue. I want to go to that place. If it's closed, I'm going to kill myself.
Wow.
Okay. No,
finally pushed Steve to the brink. The ramen place was closed.
We got to the bottom of it. The ramen place closed down. He was just dancing on thin ice to begin with.
Oh, my God. Today's been tough because we're talking about like M&Ms and cheesesteaks and tacos. And now this guy.
I've been sitting here eating a hoagie. I've been gnawing on a hoagie all morning from Primo's from yesterday.
Gnawing on a hoagie.
Yep.
That's a good band.
Gnawing on a hoagie. Nah, that's an album.
Okay, record. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's an album.
The country musings of
totally.
Chet Hooverton. I'm just sitting here gnawing on a hoagie. Yeah.
I'm writing it down, Hank.
Gnawing on a hoagie.
Gnawing. It's N-A-W-N.
No, 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 hoagie.
No,
all right, let me see what else I got here for you.
Oh, yeah.
Another show for the record book.
Oh, my God.
This is a show. We on?
Kellogg's recently unveiled new Frosted Flakes Obi-Wan Kenobi cereal.
All right. Does it just have Obi-Wan Kenobi and Star Wars art on it, or is there something extraordinary about the flakes?
So the cereal is said to pair the rich, chocolatey flavors of Kellogg's Frosted Flakes chocolate
with the seminal fluid of Obi-Wan Kenobi.
No.
Oh, oh Lord. I mean, really, it should be all about the blue milk and not the...
Yes!
You know?
With the sweet taste of original Kellogg's Frosted Flakes for a masterful combination of dark and light sides.
Huh.
So the dark side...
Huh. Oh, I'm an idiot.
Light side of the force. Actually, you know what? They don't mention the light side ever, do they? They only mention the dark side.
A bunch of downers.
What is the other one, like the regular side?
Yeah.
Or the good side? They mention the light side, the bright side?
They mention the two sides of the Schwartz. There's the good side and the bad side, right?
Did they mention that?
Yeah. Yogurt.
Oh, yeah, he got the other one.
Yeah. It's two sides to the Schwartz.
So it is set to hit shelves at retailers nationwide this spring. You remember when there were a lot of cereal tie-ins to movies?
All the time.
I guess I don't hear of them that much because I don't really do a lot of shopping in the cereal.
I think what happens is if they do, yes, true, but there used to be commercials that would run constantly tying in the cereal to whatever movie release was taking place. I think what happened is a lot of those cereals tended to be high in sugar.
Yeah. So. They're still putting presents in cereal boxes, right?
No. But the prize hidden inside?
Yeah, they don't do that anymore.
Not that I know of. They stopped doing that a long time ago, right?
There are probably one or two out there that still occasionally do it. What are you looking for?
I'm just...
A jerky maker?
No, but like whenever you got some... Well, like Cracker Jack, for instance, the best thing to get were the temporary tattoos. If you didn't get temporary tattoos, it wasn't even worth it.
I don't know. You would have to look that up. I can't say definitively one way or another if they still put prizes
in cereal boxes.
Look it up. Let us know. All right. Here's another thing from the connoisseur. This one is for Mother's Day, which is this weekend. KFC is partnering with Pro Flowers for the introduction of the new Kentucky Fried Bouquet, pronounced bouquet.
Oh, okay.
The bouquet. Do-it-yourself floral arrangement to accompany KFC's Sides Lovers meal. The Kentucky Fried Bouquet can feature KFC extra crispy chicken tenders or chicken, which is skewered and tucked into a vase alongside a blooming arrangement of a dozen multicolored roses.
Is there a KFC around here?
Yeah, there's one right down the street.
I think it closed.
Oh, did it?
I think it did close, Preston. It was the one I would go to.
Yep.
And I think it's gone.
Then I would have to say no, that I know of.
Between this and the ramen place, I'm really... I'm fading fast.
To score one for Mother's Day, simply order a KFC Side Lovers meal online or on the KFC mobile app for Mother's Day weekend between May 1st and May 3rd. You missed your window.
So are you...
I'm late with this.
And it's sold out.
It's sold out.
Yeah.
So do you... is there a particular food that Rochelle asked for Mother's Day? Or is there...
No. I mean, like, usually our special meal is sushi.
Okay.
Like if we want to go out and we're spending money, we're going to eat well tonight.
All right.
Or eat something we really like and have a good time, it's usually sushi. But I could make a bouquet out of sushi rolls.
Yeah.
You know, like Marissa made the pickle bouquet for me the one time, which is one of my favorite gifts of all time.
Kathy, what do you want for Mother's Day? What meal do you want?
Oh. God, I don't even know. Like Preston, how he like enjoys it. I mean, listen, I enjoy eating, but like, there's nothing that I'm like, oh my God, guess what I had?
Mimosas. I mean, there's orange juice in there.
He said food.
I know.
Oh, alcohol.
Oh, yeah. Booze. Please.
We'll start in the morning with mimosas.
There's vitamin C in there.
Yeah, we'll move on to the green juice that I'm calling it now, which is a margarita. We'll probably have like a high noon. Maybe we'll do a little glass of wine and then end it with a beer because you're already drunk and you're like, yeah, but I want one more. We'll go for beer.
So the high noon thing, that is something...
Yes, Kathy.
You know what I mean, right?
I totally know what you mean.
And then I'll wake up Monday morning and be like, I didn't need that beer.
Why did I do that?
So high noon is a new trend, right? Like new-ish?
I mean, I guess new-ish, but it's just like any of the other seltzers, but they...
But it's vodka-based.
Yes, it doesn't have
the
malt in it.
Kathy, my last move, though, is usually not recommended. It's not a beer, but I'm like...
I'm too full to drink a beer. Let me just do a shot of whiskey.
Oh, okay.
I just need one more. One more something, and I don't want to fill myself up
is
anymore.
Is that the nail that does it? Is it the final, the shot to put you under?
That sometimes, yes. Yeah. Okay. Embarrassingly so, yes.
Yeah.
Quite often.
I thought you were going to say shot of tequila, which is always my worst move.
No.
And, I don't know, 50% of the time makes me vomit. I know that, but my brain at that particular hour refuses to believe it.
Oh, yeah.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's something in there.
This is a good idea.
Just go ahead.
It's never a good idea. It's the worst idea, but I'm going to do it anyway.
This time.
Yeah, this time. Yeah. It's going to work.
Yeah. You don't remember those other times. It's the Obi-Wan steps right, in and erases your memory.
These are the nuggets you're looking for. Yeah.
All right, so KFC is the Kentucky Fried Bouquet.
It is clever. They do clever marketing.
But you can make one of those yourself, too. Just buy a bucket of chicken and use skewers and make a little arrangement for it and add some flowers into it. There you go. Okay, how about we stay with the... with a fried chicken place. Popeyes has announced the release of its new Buffalo Ranch chicken sandwich.
Okay.
They confirmed the new sandwich is made with the same battered and breaded chicken as the first iteration of their chicken sandwich, as well as the same brioche bun and pickles. But it also includes a new Buffalo Ranch sauce that is said to combine the taste of herb, buttermilk, ranch, and cayenne pepper, salt, pepper, garlic, onion, natural butter flavor, and parsley.
Buffalo sauce for buffalo chicken or buffalo pizza or, buffalo chicken pizza. What is that sauce? What is the buffalo?
How do you make buffalo sauce?
How do you put some buffalo in buffalo sauce?
Good question. Really good question. I've never made it from scratch.
Yeah.
I don't know. But Nick, if you wouldn't mind, pull up a recipe and we'll let you know. Because
I love it. I love buffalo dip. I love buffalo chicken pizza. I get the tuna, the Sunkissed tuna in the packets that has the buffalo sauce.
There you go. So hot sauce, standard hot sauce, is cayenne pepper, vinegar, and salt. So it's pretty watery.
Yeah.
Buffalo sauce, meanwhile, is that hot sauce that has been enhanced with butter and other ingredients. I don't know what the other ingredient. I guess it could change depending on the recipe, but the butter adds that thickness to it.
So I get it. So I'm a wimp for hot stuff, but I never have really an issue with the buffalo sauce. I assume by nature it is more mild, right?
Buffalo sauce?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's been diluted a little
bit. Okay, I think that's how I'm able to...
So there you go,
Yeah, the mildness comes from, I guess, how much pepper you put in it.
The mildness?
Well, buffalo sauce is... I don't know how to, the Scoville pepper that you put in.
I got you.
Do you know what I mean?
Depending on the hotness, the heat of that.
Of the pepper.
Of the sauce.
The heat of the meat and the angle of the dangle.
Exactly. So it starts with whatever hot sauce you want. You want to use Frank's, you want to use Tabasco, whatever, the standard hot sauce. So you can get some that are really super fiery hot.
Right.
And then essentially you add butter and it says garlic powder. And that's your basic, that's your buffalo sauce right there. So it's essentially it's a diluted with butter hot sauce.
All right, that makes sense.
I'm curious to see I will try this because I love Popeye's chicken sandwiches. And the spicy chicken sandwich is just the regular chicken sandwich with a spicy sauce on it. So this is just going to be a different flavor to what that is.
Guess so.
Steve, I have an important question for you.
Yes.
Because this is one I go back and forth on quite a bit. Do you prefer barbecue chicken pizza or buffalo chicken
buffalo.
Pizza? Okay. Every time?
I'm not a big barbecue chicken guy.
I would go with barbecue.
But then there are moments in life where I waver and I become the buffalo chicken guy.
All right, let me ask you about barbecue.
It's what they call schizophrenia.
Do you like more spicy or sweet barbecue sauce?
Sweet.
Me too.
Yeah. And that goes for almost all barbecue recipes, I think. Like occasionally a little bit spicy can be fun, but I like a sweet barbecue.
Chicken doesn't belong on pizza.
Chicken does not belong on pizza.
Unless it's buffalo chicken.
Does it taste bad? Does it taste unappealing to you?
I also don't like, I don't often like chicken with pasta either.
Really?
Yeah.
Interesting.
Like, you don't like chicken with pasta?
So like a chicken parm, but that's like breaded chicken and all that. But like a chicken dish that comes with, with pasta, like it's over the pasta or mixed in with the pasta. No.
What about chicken and pesto pasta?
Oh, man.
That's like. That's
I'm not
cook everything.
No,
that's pulling me out of my ramen depression.
But you would prefer a beef dish with pasta if you were going to have meat in your pasta.
Yes, correct. Okay.
Kathy, when I was a waiter, they I don't know if when you worked at a restaurant if they made a
I worked
a,
in the coat room. Remember?
Okay, but still, they
was there a lot of pesto in there
before the dinner rush started.
I dip your jacket in pesto?
Please remove your pesto from the pockets when you drop this off. I'm sorry, Casey.
No, that's all right. I know what the show is. The chef would make a giant meal for everybody.
Oh, yeah.
And I was always so excited when our chef would make a penne alla vodka with chicken in it. That was like, I was like, I'm going to eat good tonight.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
It's excellent.
Yeah.
Though I do say, of them all, the pesto is my favorite.
Okay, well, let's move from Popeye's over to the Shake Shack, if you will.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Oh, pesto-flavored shakes.
No, they've announced their new bourbon bacon cheddar burger.
That seems to be right in your alley, Preston.
It does. The new burger features a white cheddar cheeseburger topped with bourbon bacon jam.
All right, give me everything but just the bourbon.
Made with Maker's Mark bourbon.
Oh, wow.
Also crispy shallots and shake sauce.
Is
on toasted potato bun.
Is that your bourbon of choice?
The Maker's 46 is one of the ones that I prefer. Yes, absolutely. Oh. So the chicken sandwich features a crispy chicken breast topped with white cheddar cheese and the bourbon jam over pickles on a toasted potato bun.
We're looking at a picture of it. It looks quite good.
It does look delightful. They do burgers well at Shake Shack. I do like those. All right, that was just a quickie, but here's another one. Let's have some dessert.
Jesus Christ, I'm so hungry.
I know. Dairy Queen has announced its summer blizzard treat menu.
Okay.
The limited edition menu includes 6 blizzards, 2 new and 4 returning. The new ones are the Oreo dirt pie blizzard treat.
Oh, yeah, I think we had a commercial talking about it a little bit ago. Because I'm hungry too, Steve.
I love the dirt concept. You guys, you know who has a really good... it's like a dirt pudding. Primos has that.
Really? Right. Well, hang on. They've messed this up, Steve.
What did they do?
What did they do?
DQ vanilla soft serve blended with Oreo cookie pieces, fudge crumble, and gummy worms.
Get the goddamn gummy worms out of there.
Can we figure out a different way to make like a worm that actually makes sense in chocolate?
Make it a dark chocolate worm. I don't care. But dude, this gummy application.
Gummy and chocolate, they don't mix.
Who needs to eat that much gelatin?
Yeah. I
don't like it.
I think the reason they added it in there is because the whole dirt thing. Yeah. Worms, dirt.
Well,
I know.
I got worms.
Yeah.
Oh, do people more concerned with the accuracy of their dirt or that it tastes good?
Yeah, I'm with you.
I'm sorry. There's no matchbook covers and garbage.
Then there is the caramel fudge cheesecake blizzard treat.
Okay.
That sounds good.
I'm listening.
DQ vanilla soft serve blended with cheesecake pieces and fudge covered salty caramel pieces. I like that. The 4 returning varieties are Girl Scout Thin Mints, Cotton Candy, Drumstick with Peanuts, yay.
See, Cotton Candy, when you get, like, it's like the gummy stuff. When you get, sweet stuff jammed into my ice cream.
It's already sweet enough.
Yeah, knock it off.
And then you have
how do we make this worse for you?
The Very Cherry Chip. That sounds good, too. They are
I put radiator fluid in it, too.
At participating Dairy Queen locations for a limited time. So that's their new summer Blizzard.
You a Blizzard fan?
Menu. I am, yeah. I like them, and I'll try their specialty ones out from time to time. Yeah, we go every day.
You go every day?
Yeah, to Dairy Queen.
I got a Blizzard.
Yeah.
I know. I got to come over so you can buy me Blizzards every single night. I will do that. I will drive. I will spend all that gas money.
You're like that Bugs Bunny. What about me, boss? When he's handing out the money, what about me, boss?
I went to Dairy Queen, I think, 3 times this week. And the last time I went, I got...
Research?
Just research.
Yeah.
The problem is I get the same thing every single time. My daughter asked me why, and I'm like, because I know I like it. You know? Like, yeah. And I know I'm going to like something else that I get, but I get a Reese's Peanut Butter Cup Blizzard, extra Reese's. And, Press, you always get the vanilla cone.
Yeah.
Do you ever stray from that? Or?
Oh, yeah. I'll get shakes. And yeah, Steve was asking if I like the blizzards. But when I'm kind of watching what I'm eating, and I do want to give myself one treat, I keep it simple. I keep it small.
Right.
And
keep it real.
Yeah. Keep it real.
But I always ask Steve for extra Reese's. And so a lot of times when you get to the bottom of the blizzard, you have less down there. But this time, for some reason... There was less up top and more down, but it was more concentrated at the bottom.
It's tough to circulate those additional items through the blizzard. But I was, now you could do it in a milkshake, but to get it to permeate the depth of your blizzard is going to be more difficult.
But I was saying to my daughter as I'm eating, I'm like, I asked for extra and there's not extra in here. I said, there better be more at the bottom. And there was. And I was so happy, Steve.
Did you compliment the man? May I talk to you? May I see your chef?
Yes,
was everything to your liking, sir.
I finished it by the time
I got... My blizzard was extraordinary.
I finished by the time I got home and I was so pleased that I turned around and I drove back. Wow. Just to tell him how much I was pleased with
that's
it.
That's awesome. Listen, I don't use my mouth like this often, but...
Oh, my God.
Meet me by the dumpsters.
I found this to be very interesting. Tropicana, they had announced this from like a week or so ago. Like I said, we didn't get to the connoisseur last week. That they were launching a new breakfast cereal called Tropicana Crunch in honor of National Orange Juice Day, which was day before yesterday.
What's the flavor?
The product itself is a honey almond granola-style cereal, and per the company's tweet, each box comes with a paper straw to polish off every last bit, but it won't be milk you're sipping into. No, Tropicana says the cereal is meant to be eaten in a big bowl of orange juice.
They can go straight to hell.
Have you ever known anyone...
Yeah.
Who has cereal with orange juice? Because I do.
Yeah.
Really?
A college buddy, that's how he preferred it. And I never got it. It was always gross to me.
Was it because he was staying away from milk, lactose,
you
and
know
stuff
what?
Like that?
Oh.
Because that's the person that I knew was very health conscious and they wanted to stay away.
Yeah.
Essentially mucus products.
That's exactly what it was. And but I still think he's wrong.
Okay,
I would never do it.
Just to me, that you get a horrible taste in your mouth if you go from a cereal to orange juice.
Yeah.
But what if you had a because you guys like creamsicles, right?
Yeah,
I do not.
That combines both. I love them.
What if you had a vanilla based sort of cereal? That you use, I could see that.
Maybe.
Couldn't do like.
I don't
a
like the
creamsicle
Chase case. I don't like the orange Julius. I don't like any of that.
How about the Rita's gelati or blendinis? No. Okay.
So no.
I love those.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
All right.
Mm.
So it might work. You know, it might
what
work.
What if you put in champagne and made it mimosa cereal?
Yeah.
Actually could be better,
right?
So it says here. Even though a surprising 20% of Americans might already eat their cereal with a splash of orange juice instead of milk, according to the Kellogg's survey from 2015, many social media commenters were a bit skeptical of Tropicana's new citrusy breakfast.
Yeah, put me in that list. Why do they always include a joyous picture of the thing that you're eating, seemingly delighted that you're eating? There's a picture of an orange on the box, smiling. It's like... You murdered my family!
Yeah. Well, the ultimate campaign that picked up on that and ran with it was Chick-fil-A when they put the cows up.
Yeah.
It's great.
They certainly acknowledge that.
Yeah.
M&M's is sort of going the opposite way where they don't want to be eaten. But this orange is saying, suck me beautiful.
Suck me beautiful.
All right, one more thing, probably, since we have an interview coming up in the next segment, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's go with this one. I'm not sure what to think about this. Heinz is trying to affect how you enjoy a burger with its new Heinz Dip and Crunch.
Heinz Dip and Crunch.
Yeah.
Isn't that the dance from Legally Blonde?
No, that was what was that called?
Bend and Snap.
Bend and Snap. Each package of the item contains a mayo-based sauce in one of two flavors and crisp potato crunchers. And the idea is you dip your burger into the sauce, either secret sauce or spicy flavored, and then into the crunchers.
Okay.
And then you eat your burger.
Yeah,
I'll try this.
You're in?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
or
like
at least
it's...
trying it.
No, I'll try, and if it sucks, I won't go back. But Bobby's Burger Palace, they have a crunch burger, you know, essentially where they put potato chips inside the burger.
Okay.
And they do have and the special sauce is you know, a growing trend with the cheeseburgers, and I'm down with that as well. So, yeah, Nick, I'm with you, man. I'll try it.
I like crunch on my sushi. I like crunch on, you know, I like an onion crunch on the burger. So, yeah, this looks pretty good to me.
The special sauce on cheeseburgers is a growing trend.
Yeah, you'll see it. It's like this. I don't even know. Like it's like
the cheese and the buns and roast.
Yeah, it's a light orange sort of sauce.
Where are you seeing this?
I think there've
always been secret sauces.
Yeah, but this particular sauce, like the Burger Buff guy has his secret sauce. Freddy's has their secret sauce.
Is it like a Thousand Island?
No, that's the Big Mac sauce.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe that was the
but
one.
But that's
who
their secret sauce.
Yeah.
That's what it's called. Yeah.
I mean, and that's what this is. I'm seeing it more and
are
more.
Are you saying they're the same thing?
very similar in taste.
Generally, it's usually now called an aioli.
Okay. Yes.
And that's usually what it is, this mayo-based sauce, whether they add a little, some type of a tomato flavor to it or a mustardy flavor or something like that, or garlic or whatever. And if you want to call it a secret sauce, you can call it a secret sauce. If you want to call it an aioli, you can call it. If you want to call it mayo, you can call it mayo.
Just don't call me late for dinner.
That's right, sir. All right. We're wrapping up. We're closing up the restaurant.
It is strong with aioli.
Yep. And as we do that, a reminder that we still have a clip we're going to play at some point.
Oh, yeah.
From a Keenan's moment. And it could end up with you getting a cut the line pass and also your own table to have for the morning. So we'll play that in a bit, and you got to be the 27th caller when you hear that. Real quick, I got John, who's been on hold for a little while here. Let me go to him. Hey, John, good morning. You're on the air.
Hey, Preston, Steve, how you doing?
Great. What's up, man?
Hey, just want to let you know, I'm a 10-year veteran in Iraq, and Army veteran, did two tours in Iraq, one tour in Afghanistan. I live in Kansas City. I'm heading back there because my grandfather passed away and stuff. But I listened to you guys in Iraq, Afghanistan, Kurdistan, Kuwait, Germany, when I was stationed there for 3 years. I'm going to put it this way. There's not even a close second place morning radio show, guys, compared to you guys.
Thank you so much, man.
Thanks, John.
Yeah. Yeah, and me and my wife, Alicia, we love you guys, especially Steve, especially when you're doing the whole bear thing. My older son.
Thank you, man.
So, I just want to say keep it up. I'll be listening to you guys out there in Kansas City, listening to barbecue, missing my Wawa all the time.
man.
Steve, so.
Well, John, that's awesome, John. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Sorry about why you're traveling, but we do appreciate you taking us along, man.
Yeah. Love you guys,
brother. I love you, buddy.
That's awesome.
That's tremendous, man.
Isn't that nice to hear?
Guy goes always, you know,
fighting for us, and he's thanking us for doing, you know.
Love it.
Aioli conversation.
We have to take a break. We'll come back in just a moment. Make sure you stay close. We got more guests. We got more giveaways coming up.
Test 1, 2.
Barn door.
Low-hanging fruit.
Third leg of the stool.
Talk like Bill West today. 2022 is coming on.
With the Daily Rush, you can celebrate it every day.
Watch highlights from our Who Said It Besting game,
including an appearance from the man about town himself. Oh, you're going to love him. Videos posted on PrestonandSteve.com.
Santa's got to go.
Our next guest is on the line, ready to chat. And if you watch Ozark, you certainly know from that. And we were just talking about Iron Fist off air.
Yes, it was great.
Now you need to get to know him in Outer Range, which is on Amazon Prime. The whole first season is there for the taking. Please welcome Mr. Tom Pelfrey.
Yeah!
This morning. Hey, Tom, good morning to you.
Hey, good morning. Good morning. Thanks for having me. I got to say it really does the heart good. I got to catch the tail end there at the New Jersey traffic report.
Oh, nice. Yeah. What part of Jersey are you from, Tom?
I'm from a town called Howell in New Jersey.
What county is that one in?
Monmouth County. So, right in the center of the state, right by the Jersey Shore.
Okay.
Right.
Yeah, I knew that you were from Jersey. And Tom, I wanted to let you know that I tweeted at you at the end of Ozark season number 3. And I tweeted at you because I thought your performance was just amazing. And I don't normally do anything like that. I don't, like, tweet at celebrities or whatever. But I was just so taken back by how amazing your performance was at that season. And I had said to you, I said, if you were not nominated for an Emmy, Golden Globe, or whatever, it's a complete and total travesty. And you weren't. And I just wanted to, like, I don't know if you ended up seeing that tweet. You probably didn't. But I wanted to tell you, like, you know, personally, that, like, your performance was amazing, and you not even being nominated was absolute
crap.
Yeah.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate that. I have to say, given you know, just all of it, the things that I did end up getting out of Ozark, as if I needed anything more, have far outweighed any benefit I would have had from an award. I appreciate you saying that, but it's really opened a lot of doors for me. And so, that was disappointing for a minute there. I made the mistake of believing everyone telling me that it would happen.
Don't listen to them.
Which you should always avoid at all costs. But the thing that I love the most, it really is being on the job and being at work and doing the work. And
that's it.
I've never felt as fulfilled and challenged and rewarded as I did when I was filming Ozark. And the benefits of that have just continued to pay off. And so I'm so grateful that that job gave me so much.
Well, there's so many. I mean, listen, everyone tells the story of how many legendary actors and actresses, you know, didn't get awards. And Citizen Kane, you know, all of the history, Orson Welles overlooked.
Yeah.
But again, really, you're saying a lot of what we've said over the years is having the job, being able to do what you love. That's, you've already won.
Yes. 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 I mean, and that's the thing. That's you sort of learn over the years when you're younger. You know, for me anyway, there was a lot of struggle and a lot of disappointment and a lot of heartbreak and being told no, and you get to a crossroads where you have to sort of make a decision if you want to keep doing it and maintain your, you know, sanity. That you sort of say, like, okay, I need to focus on what I can control. And what I can control, and actually the only part of this I really love, is the work, the job. You know, I can control how I show up. I can control how I prepare. I can control those things. And the more you put the focus there, or for me anyway, the better everything has gotten.
Well,
because there is so much that's out of your control, whether good or bad.
It's true. It's true. And besides Ozark, of course, Preston mentioned Outer Range, which I knew I wanted to watch because, I love Josh Brolin. I love you know, all of the stuff that I was hearing about it. But it was only on further inspection, and Casey has started watching it before I did. It's got cool aspects to it that might make it sort of problematic to explain exactly what it is to other people. So I'll let you have at it. Tell people what Outer Range is about.
Good luck.
Yeah.
I'll tell you like this, that before we started filming, I got to read all eight scripts, and I was blown away, and cool. Simultaneously I thought, how the hell are we going to film this? Like, how the hell are we going to make this work? Because the show seemed like everything. It was mysterious and magical and dangerous. It had action. I was moved by it. I was laughing out loud at so many of the characters, and I'm like, this is everything I would want, but how the hell does it fit together? How do you actually film it? And I said to Brian Watkins, the showrunner, the creator, I said, Bri, this is home run or strikeout.
Yeah.
Like, we don't get to get a base hit with this. Because if we get a base hit, we've failed. Like, the show's too weird. Like, it either has to be really well done. And then, you know, enough time passes after you film it, and I felt really good filming it, and enough time passes, you can kind of watch it as an audience member, as just someone who maybe as much as you can objectively just kind of taking the show. And man, I'm so proud of it. And I'm just a tiny part of that. So I'm sort of bragging for everyone else, but like, everyone really did a great job, and the show is excellent.
You know, what's cool about it, Tom, is that I saw one thumbnail description that I think kind of gets it a little bit. It was described as a mystery sci-fi part neo-Western family drama. So
there it is.
There you go. But it has, and there's something about, you know, that the family aspect. Your character is very troubled. Explain who your character is and what he is facing. Things aren't good right from the get-go for him.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So I play Perry Abbott, and the show centers around the Abbott family, and we're the show's set in modern day, and we're a ranch family. We run a family ranch out in Wyoming, and Josh Brolin plays my dad. Royal Lily Taylor plays my mom, and Lewis Pullman plays my brother. And when we start the show, Perry, my character, has a young daughter, and his wife is missing, and she has been missing for 9 months. And so we sort of enter this world where this man, this character I play, Perry, is kind of heartbroken. No one knows what happened to her. No one knows if she's alive or not. No one knows anything about her disappearance. And sort of the audience is left wondering how much Perry does or doesn't know. And so, you know, we come into this world with this man kind of already a bit broken. Very quickly, things escalate. We find out that the FBI is going to stop the search for his wife. And then he goes out with his brother and gets pretty drunk at a bar and is confronted by someone about his wife at the exact wrong moment, and all hell breaks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so, there's weirdness, and there's also, if you're a fan of anything having to do with these wide open spaces and things from everything, and, you know, UFOs and catamutilation and time warps, and I see a whole panacea of potential here, you know, for, I don't know where it's going, but I love that. You know, and so is that, you've seen all 8 scripts. Do you feel we get clued in enough to, because, you know, you go on these journeys and you hope you're going to get what you want to find out?
Yes. Yes. Right. You absolutely will. And I'll say this, because Brian, who created the show, is an old buddy of mine. He's a New York playwright. I've known him for years. And, like, he understands that if you guys will hang in there with him, he's not going to send you home disappointed, but he is gonna wait.
Okay. All right. I don't mind that.
All right.
Just get us there. That's
absolutely
awesome.
All right. Well, season 1 is out, Outer Range on Amazon Prime. We know you got to run, but Tom, you going to get to the shore at all this summer, you think?
Oh, man, of course. I always do. All my family still lives in Jersey. I'm still friends with all the guys that I grew up with. Some of them I've known since I was 3, and so I'm always at home seeing them and staying connected to that place.
You have to come in. You have to come in if you're in the area.
Swing through Philly if you can. We'd love to have you in sometime.
Oh, hell yeah. Love Philly.
Excellent, man.
Too long.
Excellent. All right, Tom. Take care, bud. Good luck with everything. Tom Pelfrey, guys.
Yeah.
Take care, bud. Outer Range on Amazon Prime. Seems like a nice dude, man.
Yeah, and Casey's right. He is a. I haven't watched Ozark, but Iron Fist, and on this, he's one of those guys where your eyes are sort of drawn to him on screen. Right?
It's funny how you consume content these days too. Because I watched an episode of the second half of the way we have to do. I know we have to do the thing, President. I'm sorry, but I watched an episode from the second half of Ozark last night. And he showed up in it. And I was surprised that he showed up in it because of what happened to him in season 3. But, like, I was like, oh, my God, we're talking to that guy tomorrow, you know? He's a great actor and a really nice dude.
All right, Case, Not Wildwood Days.
Okay, we're going to do the other one?
We need to do the other one. We've got we got a stack of sounds to play, and this is the one I want to do now.
Now, here's your Concert Cash keyword.
It's contest. That's the word, C-O-N-T-E-S-T. And you have until 15 minutes after the hour to enter it. 3 ways to do that. Special contest short code, which is 45911, or to be entered for the $10,000 grand prize, enter it via the MMR app or at WMMR.com. 1 random entry wins $500 in this company-wide contest, and all MMR winners receive 2 free tickets to the MMRBQ. Winners get a call from Beasley, so make sure that you answer her phone.
Are you laughing at
me? I'll tell you in a minute. Contest rules available at WMMR.com. It's sponsored by AAA Distributor. Again, the word is contest. Good luck to you. So as I spell these words out, I sometimes take a quick look at a word and analyze it like I never have before. C-O-N T-E-S-T. So that's 2 words, con and test.
Yeah.
So is a contest a test to see if something is legitimate or not? A con test? I don't know, but I don't know why I was thinking of that.
Okay.
I had never really broken down the word contest before.
Or you can go contest.
Contest is to, yes.
Or co-entest.
Or siontest. You could do that too.
I think you can find the...
contest.
Watch it.
I know. Flirting.
Flirting on the edge, barn door. C word.
Bill was not happy about discharge the other day, by the way.
No.
Oh, he wasn't? I mean, we were doing it pretty well, though.
Yeah. It was the repetition. That's he hates the repetition.
But listen, honestly, stop and think about it for Christ's
sake. Oh, I know.
The word discharge?
You're preaching in the choir.
I know. He wasn't all freaked out.
No. He's cool. In fact,
right.
We'll do 9 times more now.
Nick found the etymology of the word. It's French contestaire.
Which means...
To call to witness. Yes.
Hey, I don't want to jump off on a tangent here.
No, go ahead.
Did you watch Jeopardy last night?
I did not.
So, Matea, the champion, has been going. She's great. She's awesome. She's going to have a long run. I thought last night, Nick, did you watch?
I did not.
I thought it was over. And she pulled out a thing last minute at the ending, which was...
Oh, Final Jeopardy?
I said to turn to my wife and said, she's out. She's
yeah.
It's over. Okay. At your Final Jeopardy, it all turned around. And that's why that show is so
Nothing long. Is over!
No, she did. Yeah. She got it. Hey, listen, quickly. I'm sorry, Casey. Thank you for pointing this out. But we did have a contest going earlier because we played a clip.
We did.
We played a clip from Keenan's Irish Pub, and we were looking for caller number 27. Ladies and gentlemen, it's Marty. Hey, Marty. There he is. Hey. How you doing, Marty?
Doing great now that I just won that.
Yeah, dude, you got the hookup. You were going to be. Now, by the way, have you ever been to our party at Keenan's in North Wildwood?
I have not, but I was actually talking to a coworker today and telling him about how I went to one of your painfully single mixes at the Note back in 2000.
No.
Oh, wow. My God.
Wow. Westchester. That was Bam's old place.
Yeah. Mixer there?
I forgot we did a mixer there.
We did.
Yeah, wow. There's some unflattering photos of me on there, too.
I'm sure. Well, we're going to have some new ones to add when you were there at Keenan's Irish Pub on the 27th. But you get the hookup, a first time ever attendee. You're going to get number one, cut the line, so you don't have to wait in line. And then we're going to give you your own table for you and three people, so you guys will have a home base. It'll be yours. We'll give you a bucket of Coors Light and a case of Coors Light to go when you're done there for the day. All right, my man?
That's great. Thank you guys so much.
You bet. Congratulations. And hang on the line. We'll make sure we get your information. So let me play the short clip again. This was the sounder that we played earlier.
3, 2, 1. Watch the tram car, please.
And then this is how the whole thing, or at least a more extended bite of that went. Here we go.
3, 2, 1. Watch the tram car, please. Here we go.
You guys are doing it.
He got the first Coors Light.
First Coors Light.
Six all together. Watch out for the ceiling fans.
Yes.
Move them that way. You're going the wrong way.
All right, but they can do it. They're short, squat, and strong, Preston.
It's like a wave. He's doing good.
He's doing great. He's coming around to the final can here.
Uh-huh. Bring him back this way. Oh, my God. Oh,
come on.
Work is a credit. He almost fell.
And I love, watch the ceiling fans.
We had to. They were literally decapitated them.
That's how high up they're holding this person. And we had this essentially a makeshift tram car. It's a like a Rubbermaid tub that we put yellow and blue tape on to simulate as if it were one of the tram cars on the boardwalk.
Because only the best for us.
Yeah. And we're having them essentially crowd surfing is what we do. And the crowd... hands these people around, and they have a certain area that they have to traverse within the club, and there are ceiling fans spinning, and they almost get hit by them.
Hilarious.
Oh, my God.
It's okay. She has a helmet on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yes.
That's what we tell ourselves.
I love doing that event. It is so much fun. and that particular contest is a blast, too. All right. So, Coors Light, our sponsor. Details about it all, WMMR.com. We need to do the Bizarre Fire.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre Fire.
I felt like Cosby first saying this. We need to do the Bizarre Fire.
And everyone wins.
All right. It's brought to you by Coors Light. And the President's Steve Show is headed to Keenan's in North Wildwood. Friday, May 27th, as I said, to officially open the Jersey Shore. Be there starting at 6 a.m. It's brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. All right. So, wow. This is a crazy story of survival. A Wisconsin man is sharing his recovery story after he miraculously survived being shot 15 times in Minneapolis last year.
How do you survive getting shot 15 times?
Gabe Tauscher continues to defy odds. The now 30-year-old spent 85 days in the hospital, and to this day, 3 of the 15 bullets remain in his body.
Oh, wow.
He said, the more I talk about it, the easier it is to deal with and to work through, but it isn't easy to put into words the suffering that his body went through. He said every nerve that had been cut was screaming. He said the last few shots I got actually felt more like burns than anything. Again, that's what some people don't
realize that sometimes people get a shot and you'll hear, you know, that it wasn't fatal or they weren't even critical. That doesn't mean that they weren't in extreme pain because of the nerve damage that can happen.
What it tears up as it enters you.
Yep. The shooting happens at a group of apartments. He said he had three bullets to the left hip. One got me in the back of the left foot, one in each butt cheek, and I've got four-ish in my left arm, he said.
So no torso strikes?
No, I guess
not. Miraculous.
Tauscher was surprised he's even alive. He said, I know there's a lot of luck, a little bit of skill, maybe some divine intervention.
You're so lucky.
In his fight to live, he says he needed 20 pints of blood or about twice the amount of the average person. And what followed was a long uphill battle to get back on his 2 feet. The bullets left his body covered in holes, but without any brain or spinal injuries. He's grateful for that in his second chance at life.
What are the odds?
He said it's definitely made some colors a little brighter and some food taste a little better, you know.
Maybe it's worth getting shot 15 times.
Yeah, maybe if you get better tasting food.
This buffalo chicken pizza never tasted better.
So he says he doesn't hold any resentment towards the man who shot him in an exchange of gunfire. So they were both shooting.
Oh.
A man who he says was an ex-boyfriend of the girl that Tauscher was dating at the time. And that suspect died after a police chase during which he was reported shooting a gun at officers and ultimately turned the gun on himself. So pretty wild story. I never heard of somebody getting hit 15 times living. Wow. As if being tested for COVID-19 weren't unpleasant enough, employees at a COVID-19 testing facility in Sydney, Australia had to close after a number of red-bellied black snakes were spotted there. One snake was filmed slithering across the parking lot before Australian snake catcher owner Sean Cade captured it using a wheelbarrow and a hook. Cade says multiple sightings of the snakes aren't unusual for this time of year, but he also added that while red-bellied black snakes are venomous, bites are rare due to the reptile's docile nature.
Wouldn't it suck that you're in Australia, you get COVID and die, and you miss out on all the other things that are waiting to kill you?
All the potential snake bites. He released the snake that he caught into more appropriate spot. A 23-year-old man featured in a video that went viral after he groped two flight attendants, punched a third, screamed that his parents had $2 million and was duct taped to a seat of a Frontier Airlines flight, was sentenced Tuesday to 60 days in jail, followed by 1 year of supervised release.
I'm so rich, I fly Frontier.
Right?
I got millions.
Max Berry pleaded guilty to 3 counts of assault within maritime and territorial jurisdiction, faced 1.5 years and $15,000 fine. He had been taking drinking on a Frontier's air flight in August from Philadelphia to Miami when he spilled his drink on himself and a flight attendant. Berry went into the bathroom and he came out without his shirt on.
What did I forget?
As flight attendants tried to help him, he groped them. A fight ensued, and Berry was eventually restrained with duct tape. The incident racked up more than 13 million views online.
I joined the Half Mile High Club. I spanked it.
In court, Berry apologized to, took full responsibility for his actions and explained how he had been remorseful from the very start.
I'm sorry.
Two of the flight attendants gave victim impact statements about how this experience has affected them. After the hearing, both victims said that the 60-day sentence was not enough, but better than nothing. In Georgia, police have arrested a woman accused of shooting a 17-year-old in the face during a road rage incident. Police said the victim was riding in the front passenger seat of a car traveling eastbound on I-20 when the woman in a black sedan pulled up alongside the vehicle and fired a shot. The shooter then exited. A passenger in the victim's car was able to take a photo of the woman. The victim, Ashlyn Crouch, is being treated at a local hospital, is expected to be released. But Griffith turned herself in Sunday night. Detectives learned that the suspect's 3 children, who were ages 4 to 9, were in the car with her at the time of the shooting. Griffith has been charged with 4 counts of aggravated assault, 3 counts of cruelty to children, and 1 of possession of a firearm during commission of a felony. Her mother, or Crouch's mother, who is the victim, Diana is her name, said she couldn't believe what Griffith did to her child or what she did afterward. Judge Susan Camp said Griffith went to get her nails done right after the shooting.
Susan, may I approach the bench?
So she went to get her nails done.
Oh, my God.
And Crouch said, that just blows my mind. That makes me think that she had no remorse.
Norrie Mars.
Ashlyn Crouch told her mother that the car she was riding in
accidentally
cut Griffith off, and she shot them the bird, and they shot back, Crouch said.
And she's doing all this with her own kids in the car.
Yeah.
Insane.
Ashlyn was shot behind the ear, and it came out through the side of her right eye.
Oh, my God. Okay, kids, headphone hands.
Wow, that's messed up. All right, and that's it. That's all we have time for in the Bizarre File for you this morning. All right, we're going to take a break. Come back. We're going to test your knowledge. Today's program, lesson question, trash, music news. Those things are coming up next. Stay with us.
Love MMR? Buy some gear. Check out the Rock Shop at WMMR.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
It's not fancy. Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Preston and Steve Show on a Friday morning. We'll be giving away our Word of the Week prize in just a little bit. So don't you fret. You've been hanging on to those letters. We'll collect them and from you. And if you have the correct word, you win the prize. But in the meantime, we got something else to give away. Yes, we are going to give away for the lesson question a 4-pack of tickets to see Harry Potter the Exhibition, which is at the Franklin Institute. The question I need to know from you is, what did Patrick Swayze use to kill Jennifer Grey's dog? 215-263.
It's a terrible story.
WMMR. He didn't really do it. But what did Patrick Swayze use to kill Jennifer Grey? What did we say? Not her, the dog.
No, yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, she's still alive.
Yeah.
Made it.
And he's dead.
Yeah. It's kind of funny.
It'd be the other way around. Kind of funny how that worked out, right? Yeah. What did Patrick Swayze use to kill Jennifer Grey's dog? All right, call now if you know the answer.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Brought to you this morning by Horizon Services. They'll take care of all your plumbing needs the same day or it's free. Plus, get up to $100 off. Book in seconds at horizonservices.com/EZBook. What's going on this morning, Steve?
Well, TikTok star Addison Rae revealing that the Michael Kors gown she wore to the Met Gala took over 350 hours to hand embroider.
Oh my God.
Rae says words can't describe how grateful she is to those Vietnamese children in that Saigon sweatshop.
Oh my God.
ASAP Rocky takes a dig at his girlfriend Rihanna's ex Chris Brown in a new song in which he raps, quote, "I don't beat my bitch, I need my bitch." ASAP Rocky says he's sick of toxic masculinity and thinks it's time men learn to start respecting their bitches.
Hey!
Oh, my God. And finally, Kim Kardashian's trainer Don A. Matrix says Kim lost 16 pounds to fit into that Marilyn Monroe gown, but did it under his supervision. Matrix says Kim achieved the quick weight loss the right way by drinking Pine Sol and eating sawdust. And that's your Hollywood.
All right, we will look for a winner out there and see if somebody knows the answer to this question. What did Patrick Swayze use to kill Jennifer Grey's dog? 215-263. Excuse me, WMMR. We have Andy on the line. Hey, Andy, good morning.
Will you?
And let's see. If you have the answer, what did Patrick Swayze use to kill Jennifer Grey's dog?
A nail gun.
That is correct. Hang on just a second, Andy. We're going to set you up with a 4-pack of tickets for Harry Potter, the exhibition at the Franklin Institute. This groundbreaking exhibition celebrates the iconic moments, characters, settings, and beast as seen in the films and stories of Harry Potter and the Wizarding World. You can use best-in-class immersive, or they do use best-in-class immersive design and technology. And tickets are on sale now at fi.edu.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
All right, so sponsor here. The music news brought to you by Family and Company Jewelers. Mother's Day's almost here, and whether you're shopping for your mom, your wife, or your daughter, whoever it might be, Family and Company Jewelers has the best selection. Family and Company Jewelers, South Jersey's diamond destination.
We put the in you.
That's what they do.
Motley Crue is the subject of a new stage play that will be premiering next month at the Hollywood Fringe Festival. Premiering at the Flight Theater at the Complex Hollywood on June 4th is The Crue, a completely unauthorized play about the world's most notorious rock band, Underneath the Dirt Lies the Truth. So that's the whole title of this.
All right.
Per the play's listing on a Hollywood Fringe website, Motley Crue are largely remembered today as the unrepentant, decadent sleaze kings of the Sunset Strip. The ultimate hair metal band who did more drugs, had more sex, and got into more trouble than anyone else sent before or since. But their actual story is far more interesting, disturbing, and inspiring than is widely remembered. And as they stood on the edge of becoming one of the biggest bands in the world, for one brief shining moment, all things were possible. Neither a hatchet job nor a snow job. The Crue is an intimate look at Nikki Sixx and the band he built into a cultural phenomenon.
Did you finish off Pam and Tommy?
No.
Okay.
Did you?
Yes.
Okay.
It was good.
I watched, I think, three episodes.
Yes.
I'll eventually get around to it. And I'll get around to four or five other shows. They stopped at two or three episodes in as well.
It's good. It definitely paints Pam in a very favorable light.
In addition to its June 4th premiere, the play also has show dates in June 11th, 18th, 19th, and 25th. And complete details can be found at HollywoodFringe.org. I just have one more story, and that's it. Dolly Parton shared in a new interview that she's interested in working with the Rolling Stones on a potential rock album. Parton, of course, was just announced as one of the artists in the induction class of the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. The iconic singer-songwriter made headlines in March when she requested to withdraw her nomination from the Rock Hall. When asked by Billboard which rock stars, which artists influenced her, she said, "I love the Rolling Stones. I've always wanted to do the song Satisfaction. Wow. It's one of my husband's favorite songs." And she said, "Yeah, I love Mick, and I love Satisfaction, and I'm hoping we're both around long enough when I get to doing this record that he'll come sing with me, and I may have to use the Rolling Stones to play behind me."
That's pretty cool.
She said, "I might do something like that, try to get some different rock bands, some of the classic bands to back me on some of the songs that I do, and then do two or three or four originals. And I'd like to get in with some of the great rock groups and do some things, but I've been working so hard on so many things that I've got to overcome this so-called controversy, which I never meant it to be that. So now I'm in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, so I'm going to have to do a rock album at some point, and now I may have to call my album Rockstar." So she's definitely she wants to make good on it.
Yes.
She wants to earn her keep.
Which I think is really admirable.
It's excellent.
What if she could get Mick to show up at the Rock and Roll induction ceremony to sing then, you know?
That'd be cool.
It's possible. Yeah. Why not?
All right, and that's it. That's all I have
in
music.
I need you to stop talking.
Because Santa's got to go.
Yeah, Santa's got to go.
That's all there is to it.
Santa's got to go.
All right, so let's take a break. We'll come back in a second. Sometimes Bill's voice is cracked.
This is great.
We'll come back in a second. We'll wrap up the show. Word of the Week prize. We're going to give that away when we return. Stay with us.
Not only can you hear Preston and Steve, you can see them, too. Check out the Weekly Rush on Xfinity On Demand. New episodes, you guessed it, weekly.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Now, back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
If I may just speak to that, Preston, it's a rain or shine event for the Walk a Mile event tomorrow. And that's completely fine. It won't be a problem whatsoever because if you're out in the rain, that's fine. But also the event takes place under the protection it's a parking garage.
Yep.
So it's in there. We'll be good to go. And all the information is on PrestonSteve.com.
We've done it before on days like that. We can do it as well. So, please sign up. Help out Laura House. Great organization. And Steve will be there in my stead. I appreciate that again, Steve. Thank you.
Oh, no problem.
And I want to thank other people. Thank you to Jesus Trejo, who came by this morning. Punchline Philly tonight and tomorrow. You can get tickets at PunchlinePhilly.com. Very nice guy. It was cool to have him on. And so was Tom Pelfrey.
Yes.
Very cool. You may know him from Ozark, but he's also got a new show out called Outer Range. It's on Prime. The whole first season is available. He's from Jersey. He was just stoked to talk to us, just being in this area. He seems like a really good guy. And Casey was, and you guys were going on about what an amazing actor he is.
Yeah, he is.
So that was cool to have him on as well. And everybody else had jumped in and joined into the program as well. Pierre Robert is here. Hey, man.
Good day. I don't like to pull back the curtain that often of inner things, but Steve, when you were reading the Dunkin' Donuts commercial and you said, I don't know where they're going with it. Oh, my. I almost drove off the road.
Thanks.
It was because, I mean, sometimes the sales folks who write them come up with this creative or lofty wording.
Yes.
And when we're reading them, sometimes it goes, are you talking about a sunrise or a sunset? And how's the coffee tie into that exactly? And and it was just brilliant and hysterical. I don't quite know where they're going with this, but at any rate, this is a fine coffee, and
it was
just loved it.
Oh, thank you.
Mere moments. Well, you know, I've heard very rarely do I hear any of you laugh during a lot we call a live read when a live commercial is read, but every so often something will throw one of you off, and you'll get on a little giggle. And I can catch it, and the listeners can catch it, too, and it people enjoy that.
Oh, that's cool.
Nice. Excellent. All right, shall we do the letter, my man?
Let's roll it.
All right.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
All right, the Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
K as in kite. Nice day to fly a kite.
All right, we'll take caller number 3, and we will set you up with the Word of the Week prize if you can tell us what that Word of the Week is. 215-263-WMMR. That is the number. So call and let's see if you can get it. What do you have in store for the masses today, my man?
Well, more opportunities for Concert Cash at noon and 2. More tickets for The Who coming soon, May 20th at the Big Joint. And workforce blocks of the Foo Fighters and Bob Seger for his birthday today. And as it is Mother's Day, we will do a thematic block of mother songs. Or not, you know, Sunday's Mother's Day. So we will do a thematic block of mother songs. Yes. So,
excellent.
And the weekend calendar and Pierre's Planner and all the other good things that make Friday a Friday.
I love that.
Thank you.
Coming up shortly, it will all be here for you, my friend. In the meantime, we're going to get our winner. We were looking for the third caller, and I see someone on hold, but here we go. Yeah, let's go to Craig and see if we can get a winner. Hi, Craig. Good morning.
Good morning.
All right, Craig, do you know the word of the week?
Yeah, it's brick.
Great day in the morning!
Brick is correct, sir. Hang on. We'll get your... Wait, first let me tell you what you got. All right, we have a summer concert ticket passport, man. We're going to give you 4 tickets each of these shows, part of the Live Nation Concert Week, the MMRBQ. So you're going to go to that, 4 tickets. Coheed and Cambria, the Black Keys, and also the Killers. You're set to go, man. Your concert season is taken care of.
Nice. I'm so excited.
Excellent, buddy. Hang on the line. Now we'll get your information. Don't forget, you can get $25 all-in tickets to more than 3,700 concerts nationwide for 1 week only. It's happening right now, and it goes through Tuesday. You can visit livenation.com/concertweek for details. Thank you so much to the people that sponsor this program, and they are as follows. Acme, from city to shore, Acme has everything that you need to prep for the summer season. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors. Also brought to you by Coors Light, made to chill. Please enjoy responsibly. And also brought to you by Trinity Rehab, with locations all over and now open in King of Prussia, trinity-rehab.com. Next week on our program, we have The Warning, the group that we played. It's the Power Trio, these ladies, Mexican gals.
Very cool.
Playing some seriously heavy music. Very cool. They're stopping in to perform with us. We're also going to have Adam Weiner of Low Cut Connie on the program, and they're playing the MMRBQ. Yeah,
I think it's Weiner.
Is it Weiner?
I think.
Okay, Adam Weiner will be joining us, and Felt Face. Yeah. As well.
Are you kidding? Felt Face?
I kid you not.
Dude, I have worshipped him ever since his face first felted.
In our studio, he will be here feeling your felted face. So
excellent. You'll have to come in early for that one.
Thank you. All right, that is it. We are done. Rage on and have a great weekend. And we'll see you later, guys. Bye-bye.
WMMR.
Hey everybody, it's good to have you on the map.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.